Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Maintain your car warranty with our service while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro, in the Holiday Shopping Center, or in Redding, on Lake Boulevard, near Waterworks Park, and Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, folks, there's something called the Dunning-Kruger effect. The Dunning-Kruger effect is a bias in the brain that you tend to think you are better at something than you actually are. And the Dunning-Kruger effect is widely held across a wide variety of skill sets in the United States. It's also held in general by a lot of people who think they are smarter than they actually are. But it's particularly held by people who have been made untouchable by the system. If you've been made untouchable by the system and you've just been rising through the ranks for years, based on, say, your intersectional identity, you're going to think you're much better and more competent at things than you actually are, and they can get away with a lot more. This is the story of Fannie Willis. Fannie Willis is the Fulton County District Attorney. She's the person who has brought charges against President Trump based on supposed violation of RICO law, which, as we've explained on the show, really does not apply in this particular case. It's certainly a legal stretch. She's attempting to make her name by getting Donald Trump, particularly in a state court, because if you can get Donald Trump on a state charge, well, then he can't pardon himself if he becomes president of the United States. Well, things started to fall apart for Fannie Willis over the last couple of months. She was a heroine in the media. She was a hard-charging prosecutor who's going to finally get Trump. And then it turns out that she is, like, key example of the Dunning-Kruger effect, but with an intersectional twist, because she thought that apparently she could get away with, like, literally anything. So just for background, let me play you a clip of Fannie Willis explaining, before she was elected DA, why exactly she should be the DA. Here she is.
Because they deserve a DA that won't have sex with his employees. Because they deserve a DA that won't put money in their own pocket when it should go to benefit children. Because we deserve better.
Okay. Now, as we are about to find out, the Fulton County people did not actually receive that DA, apparently. According to Forbes, Willis faces accusations she violated state conflict of interest and public money laws over claims from a group of Trump co-defendants that she engaged in an improper clandestine personal relationship. This would be a relationship with a man named Nathaniel Wade, who really had very little prosecutorial background, but was appointed the special prosecutor to help her out in the Fulton County case against Donald Trump. Wade and Willis apparently traveled together on two vacations, according to court documents, and state records reveal that Wade earned more than $650,000 working with Willis. So yesterday, there was a hearing about all of this. It was an evidentiary hearing in court in which the defendants asked that she essentially be removed from the case for conflict of interest. And Fannie Willis, for some odd reason, decided she was going to testify. Now, this came after she had basically destroyed her own timeline. So the question here was whether she had hired this guy because he was super competent and she had paid him, and then they fell in love and they started going on cruises and having sex and all the rest, or whether she had known the guy for a while and she decided to bring in her lover to pay him state taxpayer dollars and then go on vacations with him with state taxpayer dollars, and did that not based on the interest of the people of Fulton County, but based on her own personal interest in the guy she was shtupping. Well, so Willis and many of her employees had been subpoenaed to testify at the evidentiary hearing to determine whether she should be disqualified from the case. And last week, she had tried to stave off her testimony, and that completely failed yesterday. So first, they called a bunch of Fannie Willis's employees, her pals. So here is one of Fannie Willis's pals explaining that Fannie Willis actually was in a romantic relationship with Nathan Wade as early as like 2019. Her name is Robin Yerty. She was considered, as we'll see, a friend of Fannie Willis, but then it got very gossipy and it kind of fell apart for Fannie Willis on the stand. Here was the friend, a former staffer at the Fulton County District Attorney's Office, Robin Yerty, talking about the relationship between Willis and Wade.
You know, without going into all the painstaking details, there is no doubt in your mind that from 2019 until 2022, Ms. Willis and Mr. Wade were in a romantic relationship.
What's the question?
You have no doubt that their romantic relationship was in effect from 2019 until the last time you spoke with her.
No doubt.
Okay. And that's based on your personal observations and you know, speaking with them and seeing them together and things like that.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what she testified. And really, there are two issues in this evidentiary hearing. Issue number one is when Fannie Willis started dating Nathan Wade, if it was earlier than the appointment, which suggests, of course, that she appointed him because she was shipping him. So that's question number one. And question number two is, even if she was dating him after they got together on the case, was she then expending taxpayer dollars on him in ways that she wouldn't any other employee? That's question number two. And Fannie Willis fails on both accounts. More on this in just a second. Did you know a baby's heart begins to beat at just 3 weeks? At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. And that's where Preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing mom with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, the baby's eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to move his or her hands. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. And if you become a monthly sponsor, you'll receive stories and ultrasound pictures of the lives you helped rescue. All gifts are tax deductible. 100% of your gift donation goes towards saving babies. To donate, dial #250, say keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. These ultrasounds, they're effectively magic. They're amazing. I met all four of my kids well before they were born on ultrasound, and when a mom meets her baby for the first time on ultrasound, it changes her life and maybe saves the baby's life. Dial #250, say keyword baby today. They then call Nathan Wade, and Wade tries to deny that he was dating Willis in 2020. He tries to claim that because he had a form of cancer, it was not possible for him to have a romantic relationship because he was trying to isolate. It didn't go over amazingly well in court. He was sweating bullets, Nathan Wade, as you would imagine.
Remember I asked you some questions about Hakeville?
Yes, sir.
In the condo?
Yes, sir.
And you indicated that prior to November 1st of 2021, you had spent time at the condo, the Hakeville condo?
Yes, sir.
With Ms. Willis, right?
Yes, sir.
And with someone else? You said Ms. Yerty?
Ms. Yerty, yes, sir.
Okay, so you were not concerned, that was not a sterile environment, was it?
Are you inferring that Ms. Yerty and D.A. Willis is not sterile? Of course it's a sterile environment. It's a condo.
But don't you remember that I followed up and said, where else might you have been to show your cell phone records from Hakeville? And you said, the airport?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a sterile environment, though, the airport. You agree?
It is not.
Okay, what about restaurants? Not a sterile environment, right?
They are not.
And the Porsche, you said something about a Porsche what?
Porsche experience.
That doesn't sound very sterile to me. Is that a sterile environment?
Wait, you're inside your vehicle.
Yeah, but don't you mingle with others?
You can.
Yeah, and you were doing all that in 2021 before November 1st. That's what you testified to, correct?
Yes, sir.
So there's no reason why you couldn't be dating in 2021, is there?
Give me 2020, Mr. Sadow.
No, I said 2021.
All right.
Correct?
Dating? No.
No reason.
No reason.
Thanks.
Okay, so he's basically blown up on the stand. He says, okay, well, I couldn't have been dating her because I had cancer at the time. He's like, well, you were pretty non-sterile that entire time, so I'm assuming that you could have been, like, in a room with her, dating her at the time. Wade was then forced to explain about his sex life with Fannie Willis, and things got awkward.
Have you had a personal relationship at all, and you know what I mean by that, after the summer of 2023?
Are you asking me if I had intercourse with the district attorney?
I was trying not to, but I guess if you're going to characterize it as that, the answer would be
The answer would be no.
So it's been purely professional since the summer of 2023.
So that's where we're having issues.
You'll have to explain, because I don't know what the issue would be.
No, I will explain to you.
Thank you.
You say personal. We're very good friends, probably closer than ever because of these attacks. But if you're asking me about specific intercourse, the answer is no.
How about if I change it from intercourse to romantic?
No.
No. Okay, so then what the hell is he talking about? Okay, so Wade then admits that he was paid for a bunch of stuff that was really not appropriate. He paid for things, apparently, using, you know, the taxpayer dollars he'd been paid for. So let's say they went on a cruise. He would pay for that using his business credit card. And so the question is, well, was the state essentially paying him to then take her on romantic cruises and whatever? He says, no, because she paid me back in cash. That's going to be the excuse now, is that whatever state dollars flowed to their relationship inappropriately, it wasn't really inappropriate because she had fat stacks of cash in the safe. I'm not kidding. That's the actual defense that Nathan Wade and Fannie Willis try to use here.
You said in the affidavit that you roughly shared travel, though, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So this roughly sharing travel, you're saying she reimbursed you?
She did.
And where did you deposit the money she reimbursed you?
It was cash. She didn't give me any checks.
So she paid you cash for her share of all these vacations?
Mr. Schaefer, you'll step out if you do that again.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And so all of the vacations that she took, she paid you cash for?
Yes, ma'am.
And you purchased all of these vacations on your business credit card, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you included those in deductions on your taxes, correct?
No, ma'am.
No, you did not.
Okay, so, again, his claim, and this goes to claim number two, right? Claim number one is that he was dating her before he was actually hired. Claim number two is that they were taking business trips, that's air quotes for those listening, around the world, and that he was paying for them, basically using taxpayer dollars, and then she was reimbursing him for her half in cash, right? So that it didn't look as though they were basically scamming the government out of money. That's essentially the claim that she's making. The countervailing claim would be that she paid him $650,000 to be a prosecutor in an area where he has no qualifications in order so that they could go on romantic vacays together. So at this point, Fannie Willis decides she must testify. Now, first of all, let me just be clear. Anytime you're the subject of any sort of court proceeding, it is almost invariably a horrible idea to say you want to testify. This is why every defense counsel ever will tell you, do not get on the stand. Very few people are good witnesses in their own defense. They're really bad witnesses. Fannie Willis happens to suffer from two things. One, she's not telling the truth. And two, she also happens to be one of the most off-putting witnesses in human history. The Dunning-Kruger effect that I discussed at the very top here, that effect is so obviously present with Fannie Willis, it is almost beyond comprehension. This lady thinks she's good at her job. She thinks that she's convincing. She thinks that she comes off as honest and forthright and righteous. And she comes off as precisely the opposite. She comes off as obnoxious and lying and scheming, and it's really bad. So Fannie Willis blows up on the stand. I mean, truly blows up. Coming up, Fannie Willis decides she's going to testify against the advice of counsel, which, again, is always a dumb move. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Hey, Redding, when was the last time you experienced Black Bear Diner? Entrepreneur Magazine recently recognized this hometown diner as a top growing national restaurant. Why? Because there's always plenty for your paws. With delicious homestyle options that deliver choice, value, variety, and a cozy way to make memories and celebrate occasions. Come on in and remind yourself what guests all over the country are discovering.
Black Bear Diner. Alan Gordon, Coach Master Auto Body. Big box store body shops to come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Fannie Willis is a bad lawyer and, as it turns out, an even worse witness. This begins with her saying that she's going to testify against the advice of counsel.
And then suddenly he's changing. She files her financial declarations, same problems. We need her in here to go over all of this and to explain exactly what happened. So we would ask the court the court allow Ms. Willis to be called.
So she gets up and she's just standing there.
Just a moment, Ms. Willis. So, Ms. Cross, I don't know if you want to speak with Ms. Willis now. It's sounding like maybe they're withdrawing the objection to the motion.
I believe the motion to...
Or does Ms. Willis want to take the lead here?
We'll draw the motion to quash Ms. Willis.
Take one more. I'll make that. Okay. So, the position of the district attorney at this point is that she's no longer... contesting the subpoena. Ms. Mershon has called her as the next witness.
So she had tried to not testify, and now she's going to testify. And so she strides up aggressively to the witness box, and now is the moment. So first, she starts off by suggesting that making her even answer questions is contrary to democracy, which is weird because it seems like it actually is well within the boundaries of democracy to ask whether the DA who is prosecuting Donald Trump for political reasons is, in fact, a corrupt person who's having sex with the other prosecutor and paying him vast quantities of taxpayer cash while taking vacations with him. So here she is getting very, very self-righteous about the whole situation.
Isn't it true that you met Mr. Wade October 2019 at the judge's conference?
We haven't gotten to the point where Ms. Willis should be treated
hostile. I think we
have. I very much want to be here, so I'm not a hostile witness. I very much want to be here.
Not so much that you're hostile, Ms. Willis, it'd be an adverse witness. Your interests are opposed to Ms. Merchant's.
Thank you. Merchant's interests are contrary to democracy, Your Honor, not to mine.
I mean, okay, so... First of all, she's a terrible lawyer. That's not what a hostile witness is. So the way that it works in a criminal trial, or a civil trial, actually, is a hostile witness, when you've seen it on TV, someone say, permission to treat the witness as hostile. Okay, what that means is that when a witness is, say, a witness for the defense and a prosecutor is prosecuting, then they can cross-examine the witness. And they can ask more adversarial questions because they're not a friendly witness. It doesn't mean, like, your affect is hostile or not hostile. Like, she doesn't even know what that means. And she's the DA of Fulton County. I love that. It gets worse and worse for her. So she starts yelling about the media. She says the media lied about her, which is weird because, again, she's the one who apparently lied a lot.
And I heard someone yell, his testimony is done. It only made sense to me that I would be your next witness. And I've been very anxious to have this conversation with him today. So I ran to the courtroom.
So as soon as you heard that Mr. Wade was done testifying, that's when you just assumed you would be the next witness?
It only makes sense.
Did you listen to any of the testimony?
I've been in my office pacing, ma'am.
Okay. Did you listen to any of the arguments?
I did hear the arguments this morning. It's ridiculous to me that you lied on Monday, and yet here we still are. And I did listen to that argument.
All right, so that was it, just the argument, no testimony.
Right, I listened to the argument this morning where Adam Abadi, I thought, did an excellent job pointing out how dishonest you were with the court on Monday. And I'm actually surprised that the hearing continued. But since it did, here I am.
Wow. What a heroine. Here she is. She throws her friend under the bus. Remember Robin Yerty, her former friend, who testified that she and Nathan Wade were romantic in 2019. And here she is throwing her friend under the bus.
For the last 10 years, or 5, whatever you'd like to classify it as, have you been friends with her?
I have not spoken to Robin in over a year. I certainly do not consider her a friend now. I think that she, you know, there's a saying, no good deed goes unpunished, and I think that she betrayed our friendship.
She betrayed the friendship by apparently talking about what this lady was doing outside of school. Okay, then she gets to the question of the cash that she gave to Nathan Wade. She says, don't worry, that cash was never that serious. You know, there's no, so what, I gave him cash? Well, I mean, it's a little weird, is it not? Okay, here we go.
Same with Aruba. You don't know where that cash came from either, right?
Ma'am, you are mischaracterizing my testimony greatly. I'm not going to allow you to mischaracterize my testimony. I know that I keep money in my house. The amounts of money I gave Mr. Wade, it was never that serious. I don't think I've ever handed him more than $2,500 in a reimbursement. So we're not talking about $20,000 in cash. I don't have $20,000 in cash right now. The most I ever gave him, I know I gave him $2,500 when we went to Belize, because we went to one hotel and then we went to a second hotel. That $2,500 I actually gave him while we were still in Belize. I know that the Aruba trip, the one that you described with his mom, I think I gave him about $2,000 for that trip, for like total.
Okay, so then she was asked, so why did you pay him back in cash? Like, there's no record of you actually reimbursing him for your half of the travel. Again, that looks like a kickback, right? If I hire my wife and or anybody else, and that person is in a close personal relationship with me, and I pay them a lot of money, and then we take cruises together that the other person is paying for, the idea is that I'm supposed to pay for my half to demonstrate that I'm not actually stealing money from the government. But there's no record of her having paid back Nathan Wade. Instead, she says that she paid him back in cash. So she was asked why exactly you paid back Wade in cash all the time. And here was her not very convincing answer.
The money that you paid Mr. Wade, the cash, in October of 2022, you do not know where that money came from.
I do know where it came from. It came from my sweat and tears.
You know which job it came from. Did it
her
come
sweat
from
and tears.
County, or did it come from a private job?
It came from, what are you talking about? So it could have come from a private job, because before I was DA, I was in private practice. So I earned money during that time period that's probably in there. What do you mean I don't know where it came from?
I understand the situation. We can move on.
You never wrote him a check?
Ma'am, I don't have checks.
Okay. So you have no proof of any reimbursement for any of these things because it was all cash, right?
The testimony of one witness is enough to prove a fact.
So my question was, do you have any proof?
Is that what you're intimating right here?
I'm asking if you have any proof that you paid him any of these
money. The proof is what I just told you.
You have no written proof. Is that correct?
So I have some, probably some transactions, like in Belize. I probably spent $500 on my card.
So she has no proof that she actually paid Wade back. And I loved it. The lawyer's like, so do you have any proof of that? She's like, well, I just gave you the proof. I said it. That's not proof. That there's evidence that you said it, but the whole question is whether you're lying or not. Like, we can't just take at face value that you claim the thing. Already coming up, Fannie Willis explains that she's always had cash on her, including that time that she may have committed a campaign finance violation. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin from the Flag Center. Winter rain and wind is hard on flags. So until March 21st, bring us that tattered old glory, and we'll give you 15% off any all-weather Tuftex American flag. Stop in and see us at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. The Flag Center, since 1982. American flags, American made.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So, what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world: family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, first rule of criming, as I've said repeatedly, don't do the crime on tape or, you know, admit to the crime in open court. So the question is where she got the money, right? In the middle of this proceeding, Fannie Willis basically admits to a campaign finance violation, apparently. She says that she took money from her campaign and kept that, which I don't believe you can do for personal use, last I checked.
So my question was, where did that cash originally come from, if it didn't come out of the bank?
Cash is fungible. I've had cash for years in my house. So for me to tell you the source of when it comes from, when you go to Publix and you buy something, you get $50, you throw it in there. When it's been my whole life. When I took out a large amount of money on my first campaign, I kept some of the cash of that.
What now? Again, first rule of criming, folks, don't admit to the criming. So yeah, that was great. That was really, really good. She concluded with an explanation that she doesn't like wine, she likes Grey Goose. I mean, again, this went amazingly well for Fannie Willis and for the anti-Trump team in this particular case. Here she was. I mean, she just blows up on the stand here. It's wild.
Much less cash that time, probably $400 or $500, and then I paid for a bunch of stuff. I think we did two different wine tours that you do, which are pretty expensive. I think I bought him. He likes wine. I don't really like wine, to be honest with you. I like Grey Goose.
She likes Grey Goose. Well, that's the important thing, as you expend $650,000 taxpayer money on the guy you're shipping. Yeah, that's the important thing. Well, even MSNBC was like, oh, no. So there goes the Georgia case. MSNBC had on a former federal prosecutor named Chuck Rosenberg. He said, it may be time for Fannie Willis to leave.
If it's determined that they have apparently misled, even before the judge rules in this case, do you think we should reach a point where, for the interest of protecting the trial, the entire Fulton County trial, that they should voluntarily step aside?
Yeah, it's a great question. So this is not going well for the state. It could turn out okay, and it might turn out worse. To your point, it might be appropriate for Ms. Willis to consider removing herself from this case now and turning the reins over to a senior official in the district attorney's office and let him or her handle it.
Okay, it's worse than that, because Donald Trump's attorneys are going to be able to make the very obvious and clear case that Fannie Willis ginned up this entire case so she could hire, in high-profile fashion, the guy she was stripping so she could go on expensive cruises with him. That's going to be a very easy case to make. And I'm not the only person making that case. Over on MSNBC, there's an analyst named Carolyn Polisi. She says the same thing. She says this case against Trump is pretty much dead in the water.
Don't let the legalese fool you. This is epic. This is monumental. If things are going in the direction we think, Fannie Willis lied to the court. It's game over for her. She will be disqualified. If they had a relationship prior to when they represented to the court, it's a huge deal. I can't overstate it.
Okay. Yep. So this is a problem. This is a problem. So let me just make clear one thing. For all those who wish to be associated with or to target Donald Trump is the monkey's paw. The monkey's paw is a short story in which people discover a magical monkey's paw where if you actually make a wish upon it, you get your wish, but in the worst possible way. So that is exactly Donald Trump. Fannie Willis got her wish. Donald Trump made her famous. Donald Trump made her prominent. Donald Trump may end up putting her in jail, which is just hysterical the way this is working out. So we bid a fond farewell to Fannie Willis, whose career is basically over because, once again, the Dunning-Kruger effect undefeated for a lot of people. And the reason it exists is specifically because of the intersectionality here. I mean, the same day that this is going on, the New York Times ran an entire piece titled Why the Case Against Fannie Willis Feels Familiar to Black Women. And I just have a question. Why should that feel familiar to black women? Are black women routinely misappropriating funds in order to pay off the person they're stripping? That seems a little racist. But according to the New York Times, Tangala Hollis Palmer felt a sense of pride when she learned that Fannie Willis, the DA of Fulton County, Georgia, and one of the nation's few elected black female prosecutors, would lead the election interference case against former President Trump. But that pride would be tempered by dismay as news emerged of Ms. Willis's personal relationship with a fellow prosecutor, Nathan J. Wade, an outside lawyer she hired to help run the case. Ms. Hollis Palmer, a black 40-year-old attorney from Mississippi, is mostly upset at critics trying, she said, to discredit Ms. Willis. At first, she was skeptical of the allegations. But when Ms. Willis herself conceded the relationship, Ms. Hollis reserved some disappointment for the prosecutor, who should have used a little more discretion and a little better judgment, she said. So, again, the idea here is that the reason that she's being targeted is not because she is, in fact, corrupt. It's because she is black. And that is why, by the way, There's all these questions about DEI surrounding people like Fannie Willis, about affirmative action surrounding people like Fannie Willis, about people like Kamala Harris, incompetence at their job, suddenly vice president of the United States, and heir apparent to the White House. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who are very incompetent in a wide variety of spheres. And if the entire society tells them they are not subject to the meritocracy, that's how you end up with Fannie Willis as the district attorney in Fulton County, blowing up whatever case she was going to bring against Donald Trump in the first place. There's more on this in just one second. First, no one wants to think or talk about life insurance, but it's incredibly important, and you need to include it in your financial planning this year. Start shopping now with Policy Genius to find the right policy to protect your family. Getting life insurance today means you'll have peace of mind, so if something were to happen to you, your family can cover expenses while getting back on their feet. Policy Genius's technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks and find your lowest price. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it might not offer enough protection for your family's needs. And it might not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies starting at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. There's no excuse for not checking out your options when a company like Policy Genius makes it this easy. They work for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can actually trust their guidance. Save time and money by providing your family with financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com right now. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com. Meanwhile, when it comes to Donald Trump's legal issues, the hush money trial is apparently going to start with jury selection in March 25th, according to a New York judge. That, of course, is the idiotic Alvin Bragg case against Donald Trump, claiming that Donald Trump, for some odd reason, violated state campaign finance laws by violating federal campaign finance laws by paying Stormy Daniels payoff money to be quiet about their affair. That is that case. It's foolish. There's really no basis for it, but that trial is going to move forward in New York City. So that is the latest on that. Meanwhile, there is a DOJ case that is currently being brought by special counsel David Weiss against a former FBI informant. This would be the informant who claimed that President Joe Biden and son Hunter were involved with Burisma Holdings. The person who they are now prosecuting is a guy named Alexander Smirnoff. He is facing charges in connection with lying to the FBI and creating false records, according to CNN. He was arrested Thursday in Las Vegas. Apparently, the indictment alleges that Smirnoff's story to the FBI was, quote, a fabrication, an amalgam of otherwise unremarkable business meetings and contacts that had actually occurred, but at a later date than he claimed, and for the purpose of pitching Burisma on the defendant's services and products, not for discussing bribes to Joe Biden when he was in office. So there are a bunch of FBI memos that contained his talk about how Burisma wanted to pay Joe and Hunter $5 million apiece and all the rest of it. And now the FBI is saying that he lied about it and they are going to prosecute him over this. So the question the Democrats are making, the one they're bringing, is they're suggesting that because Smirnoff was lying, this discredits everything related to Burisma and Hunter and Joe, which of course it does not. That was supplementary material that supported a lot of the allegations that were made about Hunter and Joe. And it was very direct, but again, unsupported by sort of further evidence about actual payments of $5 million to Joe Biden. But it doesn't end all of the questions about Joe Hunter and trafficking in the Biden business name. So this raises questions as to whether the DOJ is actually targeting this guy because he lied to the FBI or whether they're targeting him in an attempt to basically get Biden off the hook for the second time in the last couple of weeks. He did violate classified document statutes, but they also said he's senile. So that is the way Joe Biden is being let off the hook. Okay, meanwhile, and what I think is far more important news than any of these legal developments, the leading critic of Vladimir Putin has now been found dead in prison or has died in prison under unspecified circumstances. This is an actual important world event. Alexei Navalny was an anti-corruption campaigner who was widely seen as the chief rival to Vladimir Putin in Russia. Unclear how he died. He was merely 47 years old. He had been sentenced on a bunch of trumped up charges to a penal colony penalty of more than 30 years. So he had been behind bars since January of 2021, according to the Wall Street Journal, when he returned to Russia from Germany, where he was recovering after he'd fallen ill during a flight inside of Russia. So he got sick while he was on this flight inside of Russia. He then flew to Germany to seek treatment. And upon reaching Germany, doctors concluded that he had actually been poisoned with a Soviet-era nerve agent called Novichok, which is, again, one of the things that Vladimir Putin does. He tends to poison his critics. Navalny, for years, was a large-scale critic of Vladimir Putin up until his arrest. He came back from exile. He was immediately arrested by Vladimir Putin's team, and then he was sentenced. And then he was moved to an Arctic prison so remote that at first nobody knew where the hell he was. I mean, for literally weeks, they shuttled him around so that nobody could find out where he was. And then finally, he released a message saying that he was in a place that was extremely cold, far in the north, where all he could see were some dogs and some snow, basically. Here is footage of Navalny from yesterday in a court appearance. And as you can see, he looks alive and well. Now, he looks skinny, obviously. But this does not look like somebody who is on the verge of death, obviously. This is him literally yesterday. As the Wall Street Journal reports, Navalny's death practically extinguishes the last real political opposition that still remained inside Russia following Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine, his crackdown on free speech, and the passage of increasingly draconian laws aimed at stamping out any dissent. Navalny's time in jail reflected the worst excesses of a judicial and prison system that has increasingly been used to punish Putin's political opponents. He had suffered alarming health ailments in prison, issues that had worsened in recent months. His lawyers were basically cut off from all access on him. He was growing increasingly emaciated in video appearances in court. So, yeah, again, everyone suspects because people get suicided regularly. And death by natural causes regularly if they are opponents of Vladimir Putin, that the Putin regime finally had enough of Alexei Navalny and they felt the threat from the outside or from Navalny or from maybe the inside of Russia. And so it was just a convenient time to get rid of Alexei Navalny. Now, Navalny, again, large-scale critic of the Kremlin. In 2020, Navalny did an interview on 60 Minutes. And here he was on 60 Minutes talking about his poisoning.
I said to the flight attendant, and I kind of shocked him with my statement, well, I was poisoned, and I'm going to die. And I immediately lay down under his feet.
Alexei Navalny was on a flight to Moscow from Siberia, where he'd been campaigning against Putin's party in a local election when he collapsed with no pain, but knowing he was dying.
Actually, every cell of your body just telling you that's body. We are done.
And I gather they suspected poison right away?
Yes, of course.
Meanwhile, his team in Siberia searched his hotel room, collecting things Navalny may have touched, like this water bottle, which the doctors in Berlin sent along with a blood sample to a German military lab to see exactly what the poison was. And the answer was Novichok.
They discovered Novichok, this nerve agent, in my blood, inside of body, on my body, and all this bottle from the hotel. So that's why we know that I was poisoned in the hotel, because I, it's just a pure speculation, because no one knows what happened exactly. But I think that when I was maybe put some clothes with this poison on me, I touch it with the hand, and then I sip from the bottle. So this nerve agent was not inside of a bottle, but on the bottle.
Novichok is a highly toxic nerve agent said to be 10 times more potent than sarin gas. Labs in France and Sweden corroborated the finding. There's no doubt it was military-grade Novichok.
In just one second, we'll get to more on Alexei Navalny's death, almost certainly killed in prison. We'll get to that in a second first.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Already coming up. So why exactly was Navalny poisoned in the first place? We'll get into that in a moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Reading, when was the last time you experienced Black Bear Diner? Entrepreneur Magazine recently recognized this hometown diner as a top growing national restaurant. Why? Because there's always plenty for your paws. With delicious homestyle options that deliver choice, value, variety, and a cozy way to make memories and celebrate occasions. Come on in and remind yourself what guests all over the country are discovering.
Black Bear Diner.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I'm also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Alexei Navalny is dead at the age of 47. The claim from the Kremlin is that he had a stroke. But given the fact that they tried to poison him before, I have doubts. So the question, of course, is why was Navalny poisoned in the first place? Navalny was on 60 Minutes, and here he was explaining why Vladimir Putin tried to kill him.
But why would Putin want to poison Alexei Navalny? When we first met Navalny 3 years ago, he was running against Putin for president. He had made a name for himself by getting his hands on incriminating internal financial documents related to high-level officials and posting them on a blog.
Did these documents that you got prove corruption?
Absolutely. I work as a whistleblower, and I'm not afraid to announce the names.
He says he found that the Kremlin's inner circle was accumulating vast amounts of wealth and published pictures of multiple homes and yachts. He moved on to airing documentaries on YouTube with video of the officials' lavish lifestyle.
And it's something very special about Mr. Putin, that he's crazy about money, personal money, about his family being rich, his friends, like all his people who was served with him in the KGB, all of them, they are billionaires. That's why fighting corruption means for him that he's fighting me.
Hey, and now he has fought him to the point where Navalny is dead. I mean, the reality is that Vladimir Putin is a vicious dictator who kills his political opponents. I mean, the list is as long as your arm of people that Vladimir Putin has killed, ranging from journalists to fellow oligarchs to dissidents who have challenged him in any sort of way, at home and abroad, by the way. He has had people killed well outside the borders of Russia. And this is why, I have to say, it is pretty wild that Tucker Carlson didn't just interview Putin, which was fine. And as I talked about on the show at length, when Tucker interviewed Putin, I thought he did a fine job. All he did was let Putin talk, and I thought it was illuminating and interesting. And then Tucker went on to essentially act as a propagandist for Vladimir Putin in Russia. So he has spent the days since his interview with Putin gallivanting around Moscow and doing what pretty much appears to be almost identical to Bernie Sanders-level propaganda on behalf of the Russian regime. I say this because here, for example, is Bernie Sanders, circa 1988, talking about the magic of one of Moscow's train stations. Just to give you sort of a background here, here is Bernie.
The stations themselves were absolutely beautiful, including many works of art, chandeliers that were beautiful. It was a very, very effective system.
Okay, so Tucker began his tour of Moscow by going to one of the train stations in Moscow. Now, a few things here. He said before that Moscow's train stations are clean, they're homeless, you're not worried about being pushed in front of a train. And I actually defended that statement to the extent that I think that major American cities have done an awful job with crime. That happens to be true, but that's not what Tucker is doing here. Tucker is doing something a little different, which is suggesting that the entire regime upon which the train station is based, he goes to a train station and basically says, because this train station is nice and has chandeliers, people in Russia are living wonderful lives under the tutelage of Vladimir Putin. And he keeps saying that sort of thing over and over and over again, which is strange because he doesn't actually need to make that claim. If he wants to claim that the Ukrainians should not be supported by American taxpayer dollars, you can make that claim without actually going full Durante. But as Robert Downey Jr. might say, never go full Durante. In any case, here was Tucker at the Moscow station.
One of the ways you understand a society is through its infrastructure, the places where people gather, the places where they go to travel. If you've got a lot of people in one place, it tells you a lot about the people. So with that in mind, we're standing in front of the Kievskaya metro station, and there's a train station next to it. Now, the metro station was built by Joseph Stalin 70 years ago. And the question is, how's it doing now, after 70 years? So we went into it to take a look, and what we found shocked us. Now, that's not an endorsement of Stalin, who was bad, obviously, nor is it an endorsement of the current president, Vladimir Putin. You may not like him either. But it doesn't change the reality of what we saw, or more precisely, didn't see. There's no graffiti, there's no filth, there's no foul smells, there are no bums or drug addicts or rapists or people waiting to push you onto the train tracks and kill you. No. It's perfectly clean and orderly. And how do you explain that? We're not even going to guess. That's not our job. We're only going to ask the question. And if your response is to shout at us slogans dumber than the slogans we used to call Soviet and mock, that's not really an answer. How does Russia, a country we're told is a gas station with nuclear weapons, have a subway station that normal people use to get to work and home every single day that's nicer than anything in our country? We're not going to speculate. We're just going to raise the question and wait for someone in charge to give us an answer. What is the answer? So we'll stop the lecture and let you take a look for yourself at what the Kievskaya metro station in Moscow, Russia looks like today.
Okay, now pause it for one second. So he's not going to speculate on what the answer is here. Okay, I'll give you the answer. The answer is very clear. Every dictatorship has certain areas that are extremely clean where they bring a foreign journalist to show them how clean those areas are. In fact, that's precisely why this train station was built. In 1935, this particular train station was opened. It was originally created by a guy named Lazar Kaganovich, who happened to be one of Joseph Stalin's right-hand men. The way that the train station was built is they hired a bunch of people who'd actually built the London Underground. They had to go to the West to get people to build it for them. And then they basically jailed all those people because they knew how the Moscow train stations were working. And also, in order to fund this thing, they had to, you know, bring in a bunch of workers, and they had to pay those workers. Well, how exactly did they pay those workers? They needed hard currency to buy all of the instruments in order to build this particular train station. So how did they get all that stuff? Well, the answer is they went over to Ukraine, they stole all the grain, and they murdered all the kulaks. The Holodomor is actually one of the reasons why you have a beautiful train station right here. But that doesn't even answer why it's nice now. The answer why it's nice now is because dictators have always been able to clean up particular train stations. That's not an answer as to whether the country itself is in good shape. The country itself is in pretty terrible shape, actually. All right, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. I hope you have a wonderful President's Day weekend. We'll be back here Tuesday with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. A judgment in President Trump's civil trial
A New York judge has ruled against Donald Trump, imposing a $364 million penalty over what the judge ruled was a years-long scheme to dupe banks and others with financial statements that inflated the former president's wealth. In delivering the verdict, Judge Arthur Engoron backed away from a prior decision that would have dissolved the former president's companies. Trump has denied wrongdoing, and his lawyers have said they'll appeal. The stiff penalty was a win for New York Attorney General Letitia James, who sued Trump over what she said was not just harmless bragging, but years of deceptive practices. I'm Shelley Adler.
Former president says the $355 million judgment against him is a very sad day for the country. He said the judge in the case is crooked and the New York Attorney General is corrupt. Harvard University is subpoenaed by a U.S. House committee for withholding documents related to an anti-Semitism investigation. There's construction of a second border wall in Egypt.
Video taken by the Sinai Foundation for Human Rights shows cranes lifting tall precast concrete barriers into place and trucks carrying cement blocks. The foundation believes the construction is intended to create a high-security gated area in preparation for Palestinian refugees in the case of a mass exodus. The Wall Street Journal, quoting anonymous Egyptian officials, described an 8-square-mile walled enclosure that could accommodate over 100,000 people. Egypt has repeatedly warned Israel, and Israel's defense minister said Friday his country has no intention of forcibly expelling over 1 million displaced Palestinians now in Rafah into its neighbor's territory. Preparations on the Egyptian side suggest Cairo is preparing for just that scenario. I'm Jennifer King.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Retirement Outlook.
If your retirement account is mostly stocks or bonds, listen closely. The future of your savings may be more uncertain than ever before. Hi, I'm Paul Stone, CEO of Colonial Metals. The sad truth is, our government continues to eat away at our freedoms and security. In economic times like these, run around the flagpole by lunatics in Washington, I look to the most trusted store of wealth in human history, physical gold and silver that you own. At Colonial Metals, we specialize in helping folks with IRAs and 401ks and other retirement accounts move their savings into physical gold and silver. If you'd like a free gold investment kit, give us a call today at 820-800-8000. My team is standing by, ready to rush a free gold investment kit to you. You may also qualify for $7,500 in free silver and a free safe. Call 820-800-8000 now. That's 820-800-8000.
Colonial Metals is not a financial advisor. Consult with your advisor before investing.
That's 820-800-8000.
NASA obtains a final tally of the asteroid samples returned by a spacecraft last fall.
And it's double the rubble goal. NASA reported that the OSIRIS-REx spacecraft collected 121 grams of dust and pebbles from asteroid Bennu. That's just over half a cup in the biggest cosmic haul ever from beyond the moon. It took NASA longer than expected to pry open the sample container because of stuck fasteners. The black carbon-rich samples are stored at a special curation lab at Houston's Johnson Space Center. The spacecraft is now on its way to another space rock, but it won't stop for samples. Keith Peters reporting.
The next crewed rocket launch from Florida's Space Coast is set for next month. NASA says three astronauts and a cosmonaut will start their trip to the International Space Station on SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket on March 1st. If everything goes as planned, the mission will lift off just after midnight. News and analysis at townhall.com. Not a good day for Wall Street on Friday.
Stocks slipped to send Wall Street to a rare losing week, just its second in the last 16. The S&P 500 fell 0.5% Friday after a report on inflation at the wholesale level came in hotter than expected. The benchmark index set a record high just a day earlier. The Dow fell 145 points. That's about 0.4%. The Nasdaq Composite gave up 0.8%. The inflation report was the latest reminder that the battle against rising prices is not over. Treasury yields rose after the data kept the door closed on hopes that the Federal Reserve could cut interest rates in March. Seth Sutel, New York.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott says the Texas Military Department is building a base camp near Eagle Pass. The facility will be used to help house National Guard personnel from Texas and other states. The base will take up 80 acres, should be able to accommodate up to 1,800 soldiers. Abbott says security will be improved because they will all be in one central location. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops to come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So yesterday, there was a big announcement from the House Intelligence Committee. The House Intelligence Committee chair went on X and tweeted out a statement suggesting that there was a serious national security threat the American public had to be made aware of. And this freaked everybody out, because when you make vague national security-related threats and you suggest that they are serious enough that they need to be declassified, everybody starts to have a little bit of palpitations. Well, as it turns out, what exactly was happening here? It appears that there is intelligence suggesting that Russia is going to attempt to put nukes in space. Nukes in space. So according to CNN.com, the U.S. has new intelligence on Russian military capabilities related to its efforts to deploy a nuclear anti-satellite system in space, according to multiple sources familiar with the intelligence. The intelligence was briefed to Congress and key U.S. allies. Some lawmakers say it is serious enough it should be declassified and made public. Apparently, it's not an immediate threat. The Russians haven't actually done it yet. The system is under development. It is not yet in orbit, and it's not even clear how far the technology has progressed, according to one of those officials. So there are a few issues that we need to cover here. One is, what would it mean if Russia actually were to do this? Second is, why are we finding out about this now, not when, you know, it's actually about to happen or when it has happened? There's something a little bit funny about that, politically speaking. So let's talk about what exactly this would mean. First, it means that presumably there would be a serious threat to America's satellite communications technology, all of our satellite technology, period. So if you were to detonate a nuke in space, it does not exactly have the same ramifications as if you detonate a nuclear weapon at high altitude, for example. If you detonate a nuclear weapon at high altitude, that comes with the possible threat of EMP, right, electromagnetic pulses, which could take out, fry all of your electronics. You've seen some of the kind of horror movies about that possibility. If you detonate a nuclear weapon close to the ground, obviously you devastate the immediate area around the blast, and then there are also radiation clouds that travel and kill lots of people. If you detonate in space, one of the things about a nuclear weapon is that a nuclear weapon feeds on the air around it. Obviously, the explosion requires oxygen in order for it to continue expanding. So if you do it in a vacuum, if you do it in space, it doesn't have quite the same impact. Effectively, what you do is you blast out radiation, and that radiation is going to significantly damage or degrade pretty much all of the satellites within the immediate orbit, and it's going to create a sort of perennial hotspot in that place where satellites that pass through it are going to be significantly damaged. There's a good piece by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Vinson, who's an active duty scientist in the U.S. Air Force, as well as the director of advanced physics courses at the Air Force Academy. And he wrote this piece back in September of 2022 talking about what exactly would happen if you detonated a nuclear weapon in space. And what he says is that the threat of nuclear explosions in space is marginalized because the potency of their effects is not widely known, and the likelihood of nuclear attack in space is assumed to be negligible, but that assumption is wrong. What he says is that, effectively speaking, what would happen is nuking the economy. It would really be more of an economic attack than, say, a physical attack killing millions of people, for example. So what he writes is, he says, a nuclear explosion in space disproportionately hurts the United States as the largest single investor in space capabilities. The United States nets almost $200 billion per year of real gross output from its space assets. Even though military satellites are designed to withstand a harsher charged particle environment, radiation hardening is not a magic cloak of invincibility. Military space assets will be degraded over time from the artificially amped radiation belt created from the nuclear detonation. Meanwhile, commercial satellites in low Earth orbit will be the first to fail from continually passing through these particle hotspots. Most satellites with a line of sight to the nuclear detonation would be destroyed from the resulting X-rays. Military space capabilities for command and control, along with reconnaissance assets, may still function for a period following the detonation, but the economic impact of degraded informational space products will be immediate. So in other words, the things that are not shielded up there are going to get fried almost immediately. They'll degrade really fast, and that will have a pretty significant economic impact. Now, does that mean that the United States would then be in World War III nuclear war? Because what we're not talking about here is the Russians putting, presumably, nuclear weapons up there in order to fire a nuke from space at the United States, for example. You're talking about them putting a nuclear weapon up there in order to do economic damage. That you're a state under significant pressure, like Russia is economically speaking, or in terms of security. And so your best indirect approach to really escalate things without killing a lot of people, because if they kill a lot of people, then the United States really will have to unleash its war machine against the Russians, which we have not done so far, despite all foolishness to the contrary. The United States has yet to unleash its actual war machine against Russia. If it had, we would not be talking about war in Ukraine anymore. We'd be talking about something far larger. And let's be real about this. The United States military capacity, put aside nuclear weapons, this is why mutually assured destruction exists. The U.S. military capacity is much larger than that of the Russians. We're not talking about any of that right now. What we are talking about is if the Russians were to actually fire a nuke at the United States, that is not the same thing as nuking a bunch of satellites in space, which would do economic damage and would presumably come along with an escalation of American efforts against Russia short of nuclear weapons. So the real question here is, when you look at this capability, yeah, is that a risk? Of course that's a risk. Is that something that the U.S. military should game out? 100%. Should we try to figure out ways of hardening our satellites or replacing them with new satellites that are significantly more hardened to this risk? Sure. But is this the kind of serious national security threat that requires everybody to go on panic mode for a full day yesterday, where everybody is thinking, oh, my God, I need my bunker. Where's my bunker? Do I need to do my drop and tuck exercises from the 1950s, get under my desk and wait for the nuclear explosion? Well, no, that's not what this threat means kind of at all, which raises the other question, which is exactly why was this made into a giant threat? And there are a lot of people who are quite suspicious of why this was made into a giant threat. I'm among them. So as folks know, I have a sympathy for the idea of giving more aid to Ukraine. I don't think that amount of aid has to be $60 billion. I don't think that bill that has been put forward by the Senate is a particularly wonderful bill. It includes $10 billion of aid to the Gaza Strip, which is filled with people who presumably would be in positions of administration who are terrorists. There's a lot that's wrong with that bill. But as a general proposition, I don't believe that the United States has an interest in allowing Russia to simply walk into Kyiv and take over the entirety of Ukraine. I think that has significant negative geopolitical ramifications for the United States and American citizens. With that said, scaring the American people into greenlighting an aid package by releasing information about a serious national security threat that lives in Canada, but no, you can't meet her, that doesn't seem like a great tactic to get people in your corner. In fact, it's probably going to alienate more people than it draws. According to CNN, while members of Congress downplayed the immediacy of the threat, an anti-satellite weapon placed in orbit around the Earth would pose significant danger to U.S. nuclear command and control satellites, according to Hans Christensen, director of the Nuclear Information Project at the Federation of American Scientists. Earlier on Wednesday, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Republican Mike Turner of Ohio, ignited a firestorm on Capitol Hill when he issued that cryptic statement, announcing that the panel had, quote, information concerning a serious national security threat. And when this notice went out, by the way, I was watching, and my immediate mentality went to, okay, is there like an immediate terror threat in the United States that we need to know about? Is there about to be a major secondary attack by the Russians on, say, a Baltic state? Like, what are we talking about here? And then it turns out that what they're talking about is the possibility of a new Russian military capability that would do economic damage to the United States, but would not actually launch us into World War III. And I thought, well, that seems a little bit overblown in terms of just leaking that out there to scare everybody. Within hours, the Republican House Speaker, Mike Johnson, attempted to tamp down the situation, telling reporters, quote, there is no cause for alarm. He said that he'd known about the intelligence since at least January. He said, we want to assure everyone that steady hands are at the wheel working on it, and there is no need for alarm. Jim Hines, the committee's top Democrat, said in a statement, the classified intelligence product the House Intelligence Committee called to the attention members last night is a significant one, but it is not, in fact, a cause for panic. The National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, he said, you know, I can't say that Americans have nothing to worry about, but I'm not sure why everybody is sort of in panic mode.
Just a quick follow-up just to put this to rest. Obviously, the House Intelligence Chair speaking out about a imminent, or he doesn't say imminent, serious national security threat, the lack of your ability to say anything has the potential to raise distress for some Americans. In the simplest of terms, can you tell Americans that there's nothing they have to worry about right now in terms of what he describes as a national security threat?
Look, I think in a way that question is impossible to answer with a straight yes, right? Because Americans understand that there are a range of threats and challenges in the world that we're dealing with every single day. And those threats and challenges range from terrorism to state actors. And we have to contend with them, and we have to contend with them in a way where we ensure the ultimate security of the American people.
Okay, so, again, when I see, you know, this sort of alarmism emerging, that makes me less likely to support a foreign aid bill. You know, were I in Congress, I'm not sure how I'd vote on this foreign aid bill. I'd probably vote no based on the size and scope of it. And I'd want to see the underlying information. But even were I inclined to vote for the foreign aid bill, I'd now be less inclined to vote for the foreign aid bill because I don't like pressure tactics like this. Apparently, according to Politico, it's possible that Turner was attempting to raise alarms about Russia's advancements in space as a way of underscoring the need for lawmakers to approve additional aid to Ukraine. The Senate passed the supplemental bill, including $60 billion in aid for Kyiv, and is currently under review by the House. Now, meanwhile, the White House is trying to play a bit of a different game with regard to this foreign aid bill. So they're not negotiating, not at all. In fact, Joe Biden said yesterday that he has no plans to meet with the Speaker of the House, which is weird, because if you wanted to get something done on foreign aid, presumably you'd want to meet with the person with whom you are going to have to negotiate to get that done. Karine Jean-Pierre said, no. Joe Biden isn't meeting with him.
Speaker Johnson has suggested that he needs a one-on-one meeting with President Biden. Given that Johnson has said he doesn't feel rushed on foreign aid, would that one-on-one meeting help?
Look. And I appreciate the question, Josh, but the president met with obviously congressional leadership less than a month ago. And he made really clear how important it was to get that bipartisan negotiated legislation coming out of the Senate, how important it was to get that, to move that forward.
Okay, so why won't he meet with Johnson then? If he thinks that it's really important, why not try to convince Johnson? I mean, first of all, it'd be good politics, it'd be good optics. He could come out and he could say, listen, I spoke with Speaker Johnson and he doesn't have a coherent defense. It's very weird that Biden won't speak to him. The reason that Biden won't speak to him is because he thinks for some odd reason that he's winning this thing in the court of public opinion, and or he knows that the headline coming out of any meeting between Biden and Johnson is likely to be about his senility, not about Johnson's positions on this particular issue. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is just trying to ramp up the pressure from the outside, suggesting that if you wanted to pare back the bill, or if you had amendments to the bill, or if you wanted to pass a slightly different version of the bill that strips out certain things and adds other things, that this would somehow be a giant failure. John Kirby, who is the national security spokesperson for the White House, he says it's time for Mike Johnson to show some leadership and simply put up the bill for a vote. But that's not actually Johnson's job. He doesn't have to do that. Obviously, he's Speaker of the House.
I don't think it's any secret. Some Republicans on the House have acknowledged it. If this bill got to the floor, there's more than 218 votes. It just needs to be put on the floor. Have you guys worked through, you know, Plan Bs or other ways to try and get around a Speaker who said unequivocally this isn't happening?
It's not about getting around the Speaker, Phil. It's about working with him and through him, and he's going to have to show some leadership here. Obviously, we're going to keep our consultations and our conversations with Congress going. We're obviously going to keep engaging them, but the Speaker's got a choice to make here. This is a moment for leadership. This is, as the President said, an inflection point, and we got to wait and see if the Speaker's going to be up to that moment.
So, you know, again, I think that this is a bad tactic if they actually want to get the aid passed. What they should do is sit down with Johnson. He's the person they have to negotiate with. But again, I think a lot of this is grandstanding. Right now, our political system is entirely broken because there's more incentive in both sides grandstanding than in actually getting things done. And that's true across the aisle pretty much everywhere. Because the sides hate each other so much that any sign that you want to work with the other side on anything, even to get 80% of what you want, is now treated as a sign of treason in some way. Already coming up, the Democrats are claiming that Republicans are now siding with Putin and Iran, which is weird since it's Joe Biden who's been making concessions to both of those entities. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The National Wild Turkey Federation's 25th Annual Redding Chapter Hunting Heritage Banquet is Saturday, March 9th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. To purchase tickets for the event, or if you would like more information, contact Candy Muse at 530-526-8350. That's 530-526-8350. Or online at nwtf.org/event. Sponsored by Johnny Morris Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, Benelli, Hoyt Harness Company, La Crosse, Sportsman's Guide, and Tacticam.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson. And find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in Jefferson.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the argument by Democrats is that it's Republicans who are siding with Putin and Iran, which, again, is weird since it's Democrats who send pallets of cash to Iran. And it is only under Democrats that Putin invades other sovereign countries. So the Democrats are simply going to demagogue this thing without sitting down and trying to see what they can get out of the Republicans. Karine Jean-Pierre, she is saying that Republicans are siding with Putin and Iran, which, again, I wish that Republicans would articulate better their reasons for opposing the bill, because you're seeing, as I've discussed on the show the past few days, a wide variety of rationales. You have Tom Cotton, who's extremely hawkish, extremely anti-Iran, extremely anti-Putin, Tom Cotton, the senator from Arkansas. And he has said that he's opposing the bill because of all the pork in it and because it provides aid to some places we don't want the aid going. And I agree with his rationales. And then you see some people who are making the argument that basically Ukraine doesn't deserve defense at all. And Democrats are jumping onto that argument. And then they are using that as a stand-in for the entire Republican argument. So the lack of unity in a message from Republicans about why they oppose the bill is actually giving an opening to Democrats to claim that Republicans oppose the bill because they actually like Vladimir Putin.
House Republicans are still at it right now, siding with Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, and Tehran against our defense industrial base, against NATO, against Ukraine, against our interests in the Indo-Pacific.
Lack of clarity in messaging is not Republicans' friend here. They have now offered a bunch of different rationales for why they oppose the bill, and they really need to come around like one rationale. So originally the rationale is we oppose the bill because we want border control provisions in the bill. And then when the border control provisions that came out of the Senate were insufficient, they said we don't want any border control provisions in the bill because Joe Biden has the authority to do what he wants right now. Okay, well, if that was the argument in the first place, then why link it to border provisions in the bill? And why not pass a version in the House that already has border provisions in the bill so that people aren't kind of shooting in the dark. It feels like the Republicans in the House are moving around the goalposts a lot. Just to be honest with you, from the outside, if you're just somebody who's watching this casually, what it looks like is Republicans said, okay, we want some Ukraine, we're okay with some Ukraine aid, we're good with Israel aid, we're good with Taiwan aid, but we're not going to give all this money away until we secure our southern border. And so the Senate said, okay, fine, we're going to put together this entire crap package, including border stuff. And then the Republicans in the House said, well, that's insufficient. And the Senate was like, well, then we'll just strip out the border stuff and we'll do just the aid package alone. And then the Republicans were like, well, there's not border stuff in there. Okay, well, if you're going to do that, then what you actually ought to do in the House is do what the House was designed to do. Initiate the legislation. Initiate the legislation and say, if the Senate will not pass our version of the legislation, we're not signing anything else. Our version is better. Their version is worse. Do that. But it seems like Republicans can't really even get on board for that because of internal divisions over things like aid for Ukraine. It turns out that Republicans don't have a unified position. Democrats do. Democrats have a unified position on pretty much all of these issues. Their unified position is as open borders as you can make them, lots of aid to Ukraine. They actually are in favor of aid to Israel, but they also want aid to Hamas. That's the actual Democrat unified position. Democrats are way better at this game than Republicans. Republicans are, by and large, a fragmentary group. It's a coalitional group. Democrats are pretty much down the line. You'll have an occasional person who's crazy, like Rashida Tlaib, who no one can get on board, including Democrats. I mean, they'll still praise her and pretend that she's a diverse part of their coalition. Well, she literally voted yesterday. She voted present on a resolution to condemn Hamas for raping women. That is what Rashida Tlaib was doing yesterday. Here she was yesterday.
All acts of sexual violence are horrific. We should all be fighting to end it here at home and all around the world. So while the resolution on the floor today rightfully denounces any sexual violence by Hamas, I'm disturbed that it completely ignores and erases any sexual violence and abuse committed by the Israeli forces against Palestinians, especially children. The UN and Human Rights...
Sexual violence and abuse committed against children?
...have raised alarms for years, but Congress...
What?
...did nothing, never cared. We all have responsibility...
And she's a terror supporter, so... But she's not... She's a ridiculous, terror-supporting, horrific human being. Even Democrats look at Rashida Tlaib, for the most part, and think that she's a crazy person. But they're much more unified, just in terms of their governing strategy, than Republicans are. And what that means is that because Republicans are unable to come up with a governing strategy, because they can't actually unify over virtually any issues, other than simply opposing what the left wants, there's a real problem. Listen, I oppose what the left wants also, but I want a unified Republican agenda on the table on each of these things. And I think there is an 80% consensus among Republicans, not the online Republicans, among Republicans generally, for the following things. Enough aid to Ukraine to prevent Russia from taking Kyiv, allowing enough time for a negotiated solution that freezes the lines in place to actually be reached, and enough pressure on the Russians so that they don't feel that tomorrow they're going to be able to run into Kyiv if they just hold out long enough, the way the Taliban held out long enough in Afghanistan and then took the whole country. I think most Republicans are in favor of that. I think the vast majority of Republicans are in favor of aid to Israel. I think the vast majority of Republicans are in favor of securing the border. So start with that and then put forward a bill like that and then force as much of that through as you can in the Senate. That would be the way to do it. But instead, Republicans seem to be saying things like, okay, here's what we want. These things. Now go try and do that. And then somebody else tries to do it and they do it badly. And then Republicans say, nope, we're not going to look at it. And then they say, we want something different. Okay, well, what is the thing you want that is different? What is it? So it cuts away at the actual seriousness of the real Republican agenda items. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, for example, yesterday, he said, we're not going to get jammed into passing this foreign aid bill that doesn't secure the border. But it was many Republicans who were claiming that Joe Biden doesn't need any more legislation in order to secure the border. Me among them, by the way. He doesn't. He can secure the border right now, given the laws that are on the books. You actually do not need further border legislation in order to ensure that the border is closed. Everyone knows this, including Republicans. So that's why it's always been a little bit weird to suggest that they're not going to pass a foreign aid package unless they get... Again, there are a bunch of arguments against the foreign aid package. Some are actual fiscal arguments that are made by people like Thomas Massey or Rand Paul, who suggest basically we should not do foreign aid to anyone. I take them a little more seriously than people who I think are fronting on that, who are perfectly fine with giant entitlement programs that completely bankrupt the U.S. economy, but they're very keen not to give foreign aid to Israel, for example. But there are certain people like Rand Paul, who's just a small government guy, wants to restructure entitlements and all the rest. And so his general perspective on this, presumably, is that we should not spend money in places we shouldn't spend money. Okay, that's fine, and that's dandy. But that's not the actual position of the Republican caucus at this point, which has itself refused to restructure entitlements in any way, shape, or form. All right, coming up, The big problem for Republicans, they are always confusing in their messaging. Always, this is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Maintain your car warranty with our service while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro, in the Holiday Shopping Center, or in Redding, on Lake Boulevard, near Waterworks Park, and Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio. Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Republican Party is confused in its messaging, and this creates openings for Democrats. Again, the confused messages coming out of the Republican Party, it's one reason why, despite the unpopularity of the Democratic Party, Republicans are cruising for a bruising in November. I think people are whistling past the graveyard. I don't mean that Donald Trump is cruising for a bruising. Right now, he is set to win election over Joe Biden if the election were held today. I'm talking about in the House. There is a better than average shot that Republicans lose the House in November because of their own incoherence and incompetence. Here's Speaker Mike Johnson talking about the bill and talking about the border. And all, but again, if you don't put forward your affirmative position, people start to think that it's just chaos, which it kind of is.
Last night, the House voted to approve articles of impeachment against Secretary Mayorkas. Desperate times call for desperate measures. We had to do that. He has abdicated his responsibility. He's breached the public trust, and he's disregarded the laws Congress has passed. But much more has to be done, of course, to secure the border. And what the Senate produced this week is silent on that issue. Senator McConnell and I have spoken about this in frank sessions, and let me be clear here again this morning. The Republican-led House will not be jammed or forced into passing a foreign aid bill that was opposed by most Republican senators and does nothing to secure our own border. It's time for Washington to start showing some love to Americans. On Valentine's Day, this is a good day to point this out. You need to listen to the American people and their needs and take action. And that's why House leadership will continue to govern with Americans' interests at heart.
Okay, so passing stuff. Really, like passing stuff. So, for example, the House did pass a clean foreign aid bill to Israel, but only through committee. They didn't put it up for a full vote yet. Do that. Force Democrats' hand. Like, make Democrats say what they are for. Right now, Democrats are saying what Republicans are for. Why don't Republicans make Democrats say what Democrats are for at this point? Because the truth is, what Democrats are for at this point is basically opening up the borders. If you take a look at what they're now considering, apparently, ICE has drafted plans to release thousands of immigrants and slash its capacity to hold detainees after the failure of the Senate border bill. So Democrats were not claiming that there was a shortage of resources at the border. Republicans were. And then, when Republicans killed the bill, Democrats are now claiming that they take Republicans' claims seriously, and now they're just going to release, en masse, people into the United States. So they are actually threatening American security because the Republicans wouldn't pass their border bill. Which, by the way, should be a pretty good Republican talking point. So in other words, you won't secure the border, and your threat not to secure the border is that if we don't join you, you're going to further unsecure the border. Right? That seems like a pretty good place for Republicans to come around. But again, it's all convoluted and discombobulated in terms of coordination at the top levels. There is a lack of congressional leadership. And the congressional leadership that there is incapable of getting its own party into line. And Democrats are way better at this than Republicans, period, end of story. According to the Washington Post, the bipartisan border bill Republican lawmakers opposed last week would have provided $6 billion in supplemental funding for ICE enforcement operations. The bill's demise has led ICE officials to begin circulating an internal proposal to save money by releasing thousands of detainees and cutting detention levels from 38,000 beds to 22,000 beds, the opposite of the enforcement increases Republicans say that they want. Now, again, if you're telling me that they can't find any money anywhere in that $7 trillion budget to maintain beds, by the way, those beds are not even full. They're releasing people right now into the interior after a very short period of time. That is an amazing blackmail attempt by the Democrats. They're trying to basically blackmail Republicans into going along with an open border and threatening them with an even more open border if they don't do it. I mean, that's truly an amazing thing. And Republicans would be able to run on that if these issues packages. I want each one of these merits. Then we can decide whether the amount of aid to Ukraine is appropriate or whether it's not, whether the amount of aid to Israel is appropriate or whether it's not, whether the amount of aid to Taiwan is appropriate, and what should be done on the border. But instead, we just aggregate this stuff, and then we argue randomly over it, and then nothing gets done. And meanwhile, the world goes on. The open border goes on. The war in Ukraine goes on. The war in Gaza goes on. We'll get some more on this in just one second. First.
Hey, everyone. This is Daily Wire Editor-in-Chief John Bickley with Georgia Howe.
We co-host Morning Wire, the daily news podcast created to bring more balance to the national conversation.
We give you the news you need to know in 15 minutes or less without the mainstream spin.
Join us and get the facts first with a new episode every morning.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Daily Wire Plus, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And meanwhile, closer to home, the Super Bowl was celebrated on Sunday. I say celebrated because it's essentially the only national holiday we have left since the left has declared that Thanksgiving is actually a day of reminiscence about the evils of Europe and of the continent and all the rest of it. So Super Bowl Sunday is really the only national holiday we have left, which says not very much about our common culture, frankly. 124 million people watched the Super Bowl the other day. And then there was the Super Bowl Victory Parade. So the Super Bowl Victory Parade happened in Kansas City, of course, because the Chiefs beat the 49ers. But a mass shooting broke out at the Super Bowl parade. According to The Sun, the victory parade for the Kansas City Chiefs' second straight Super Bowl championship has now ended in tragedy. Police reported that shots had been fired near Union Station and asked fans to leave. Here was CNN covering it yesterday.
Josh, again, we're looking at live images. Earlier, it appeared that law enforcement was moving folks around in a certain area, but it's really hard to discern exactly what's happening just based on the images that we're seeing. What are you hearing from law enforcement sources about what happened there?
Yeah, Boris, so there was this clearing process, obviously, that took place after the shots rang out, officers trying to get this large group of people who had been gathered for the celebration out of the area. We're just hearing from authorities coming in just now that it appears as though at least two people have been taken into custody. It's worth pointing out right now, though, no indication of any victims. Police said that they were working to gather information. So, again, we just want to caution it's still too early to determine whether reports of shots fired here are actually were related to this celebration or whether this was just happening nearby.
Okay, so police are still trying to figure out exactly what the motives are. The fact that we don't know the identity of the shooter, and the police clearly do. I mean, we have pictures floating around online of the identities of the shooter, and the police will not release that. Whenever the police are very reticent to release the identity of a person implicated in a murder, you can fairly guarantee that politics are coming into play. According to CNN, police are working to figure out who opened fire and why after one person was killed and 20 more wounded at the end of the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl victory rally. Children were, in fact, among those shot. About a million people were gathered Wednesday just steps from Union Station in downtown Kansas City. Three people were detained. An unspecified number of guns were recovered as the officers converged. Now, it is fair to point out at this point that Kansas City is one of the more unsafe major cities in the United States. They have serious crime rates. Last year, they actually had the most homicides ever in the city of Kansas City. It is a deeply unsafe city at this point. High rates of poverty, high rates of crime, high rates of single motherhood, which are related to both of those things. Yeah. Meanwhile, this immediately sent Democrats into their gun control call. And this is always what happens. If there is a shooting, it's never about gangs. It's never about single motherhood. It's never about high rates of crime. It's never about understaffing of the police department. It's always about guns, as though you can just get rid of guns across the United States with a magic wand or something. So here is Democratic Representative Jason Crow of Colorado calling for more gun control, because this is always, it's always more cowbell for the Democrats whenever somebody gets shot. It's the fault of the instrument, not the fault of the person.
The gun violence in this country is not being resolved, even despite the steps that have been taken by lawmakers. I mean, the few steps, the very small steps. What needs to be done?
Well, my heart is breaking for Kansas City and for the victims and their families. This is a terrible, devastating incident, no doubt about it. We have a crisis in our nation. There's no reason why almost 40,000 Americans a year should be dying at the hands of guns. This is a uniquely American problem, right? Nobody else in the world has the problem that we have right now. And my heart breaks, my thoughts and my prayers go out to the families and the victims here. But listen, I'm a member of Congress. I'm a legislator, right? I'm not a member of the clergy. And my job is not to just send thoughts and prayers. My job is to legislate and to try to solve problems. And that's why I've been pushing very hard to try to solve it. And that's why people should be pushing their members of Congress and others to join with us to do the same.
Okay, so it is worthwhile at this point pointing out the Democrats had introduced zero legislation that would have stopped what happened yesterday in Kansas City. Zero. The weapons used were semi-automatic handguns. Democrats have proposed no laws that would get to the confiscation, which is what you would require, of semi-automatic handguns because it would violate the Second Amendment, as they well know. So they're basically just railing against the wind. Well, we can talk about that, or we can talk about some of the heroes who actually tried to stop this thing. So there is video of the shooters trying to flee and members of the crowd tackling them, which is amazing stuff. I mean, again, there are real everyday heroes out there. Here's some of that footage. You can see these shooters trying to get away, and people on the sidelines are just tackling them and subduing them. I mean, that's heroism. When you see a mass shooter and your first move is we got to tackle this person and subdue that person. Good for the civilians who decided to get involved and help. And then the police came late and arrested. Again, the police are very understaffed in Kansas City. Here's an interview with one of the men who tackled the alleged shooter. His name is Paul Contreras.
One guy was hollering and saying, you know, stop him, or catch him, you know, tackle him, whatever. And he's just bailing running. And out of nowhere, I heard that guy hollering, so I'm just like, okay, well, I'm right here. And I didn't think about it. It was just a reaction. I didn't hesitate. It was just do it. So I went to go tackle him, and another gentleman did the same thing. And as I'm tackling him, I see his weapon either fall out of his hand or out of his sleeve because he was wearing a long jacket or like a Carhartt. So when I seen that hit the ground, I'm like, oh, you know, we got to take this guy down. And so, like I said, I did, and another good Samaritan did, and we held him down. And it seemed like forever, but it probably wasn't. It was like 30 seconds holding him down, and me and the other gentleman are hollering at ongoers, you know, where's the cops? You know, get the cops over here. Get the cops over here. You know, we got them.
So good for this person. Again, there are people out there who jump into action when something goes wrong. But if you are going to speak about broader systemic crime problems in America's major cities, you do have to point out that one of the big problems in America's major cities is that the governing bodies in these cities are incredibly soft on crime, incredibly soft on crime. In fact, yesterday, Brandon Johnson, who is the mayor of Chicago, he announced that they were going to change how they actually identify crime occurring in Chicago. They're going to cancel a deal with a software called ShotSpotter. What exactly is ShotSpotter? ShotSpotter operates a network of acoustic sensors across the city where if a shot is fired, the police are immediately notified of that so they can get to scene. He's canceling that because he says it's racist. The city put out a statement saying, quote, moving forward, the city of Chicago will deploy its resources on the most effective strategies and tactics proven to accelerate the current downward trend in violent crime. Yes, everyone can feel it in Chicago, that current trend downward in violent crime. Things are getting so much better in Chicago, which is why nobody is traveling to Chicago these days, except for illegal immigrants, by the way. Here is Brandon Johnson announcing this idiocy.
Campaign promise fulfilled. Mayor Brandon Johnson is ending the city's use of the controversial gunfire surveillance system known as ShotSpotter. The city's contract with the company behind ShotSpotter expires on Friday, and the police will stop using the technology September 22nd, about a month after the Democratic National Convention. A city statement said, moving forward, Chicago will deploy its resources on the most effective strategies and tactics proven to accelerate the current downward trend in violent crime.
And by the way, it is worth noting at this point that ShotSpotter also, the company behind it, they said they were offered a six-month extension by the city. And they're like, nope, you know what? Enjoy. Enjoy your giant, violent, crime-ridden city. We're out. So good job, Brandon Johnson. Same thing, by the way, happening in Washington, D.C., Washington, D.C., of course, is a crime-ridden hellhole. Washington, D.C. has become a center for violent crime, including violent carjackings, shootings. MSNBC just yesterday was reporting on three Washington, D.C. officers being shot and injured while serving a warrant.
Anna, this began in the 8 a.m. hour here in southeast D.C. when Metropolitan Police officers were serving an arrest warrant to an individual inside a home here in southeast D.C. He began shooting from inside the home towards the outside. We're told three officers were injured in this shooting. We're also told a fourth has minor injuries as well. This is still a very active, ongoing situation. We're expecting a briefing here from police in any moment now.
Okay, and then, absurdly, the White House came out and blamed Republicans for the D.C. crime spike, which is kind of amazing since the Democrats run Washington, D.C. The mayor of Washington, D.C. painted an entire street with Black Lives Matter and declared it like George Floyd Plaza during BLM. Here is Karine Jean-Pierre talking about this.
Does the president believe the nation's capital is safe for Americans from across the country to come visit?
I mean, look, we hear the reports and see the data as well. And all violent crime anywhere is completely unacceptable, not just here in D.C. We're going to call them all out in communities across the country. Everyone in every community in this country wants the same thing. They want their families to be safe and not get into politics on this. The president is wanting to make sure that communities feel safe. And we're not seeing that from congressional Republicans. We're just not. They continue to get in the way. The president has taken action. He puts that in his budget every day, making sure that we make communities safer. And we're just not seeing that from Republicans.
Republicans are anti-cop now. Yeah, good luck with this particular argument. There's more on this in just 1 second. First, no one wants to think or talk about life insurance, but it's incredibly important, and you need to include it in your financial planning this year. Start shopping now with Policy Genius to find the right policy to protect your family. Getting life insurance today means you'll have peace of mind, so if something were to happen to you, your family can cover expenses while getting back on their feet. Policy Genius' technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks and find your lowest price. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it might not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it might not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies starting at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. There's no excuse for not checking out your options when a company like Policy Genius makes it this easy. They work for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can actually trust their guidance. Save time and money by providing your family with financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com right now. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com. Alrighty, coming up. So remember that time that Joe Biden suggested that he was very offended by being asked about Bo? You know, in the aftermath of the special counsel saying he couldn't remember when Bo died? Turns out the special counsel never even asked him. Biden brought it up and failed. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Your vacation is over, but the worst part, the long drive home from Sacramento. Unless you chose to fly from Redding, at Redding Regional Airport, your takeoff and landing are close to home, with quick check-ins and nonstop flights to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. You can travel the world with one connection on United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. Next time, skip the drive to and from Sacramento. Fly with ease and convenience from Redding Regional Airport.
Hello, Northern California. This is Roland from the Flag Center. Winter rain and wind is hard on flags. So until March 21st, bring us that tattered old glory, and we'll give you 15% off any all-weather Tuftex American flag. Stop in and see us at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. The Flag Center, since 1982. American flags, American made.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Welcome to the Queen of Dragons Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Queen Dragons or visit www.queenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Backed by popular demand, fresh and local flower powered by Pinnacle, Shasta County's premier local cultivator. Package fresh and daily with a wide variety and best prices and deals in town. And they can package larger sizes and quantities on site. Available only at the Queen of Dragons Dispensary. Winter hours are Monday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and they deliver. 530-276-9771.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Remember that time that Joe Biden suggested that the special counsel was rude and awful for asking him about Bo Biden? It turns out special counsel never did that. Joe brought it up and then his memory failed. We have some news from Joe Biden's senility challenge, which is what's happening for his 2024 reelect. So apparently, you remember, during his terrible press conference last week, Joe Biden got very angry because of the special counsel's suggestion that he couldn't remember when his son died. And so he did a whole shtick. Now, how terrible it was that he was even asked the question. Remember, how dare he even ask the question? How the hell dare he raise that? You remember that? Remember he said that last week? That was last Friday. It was last Thursday, actually. Remember that? It was great. Well, now it emerges that actually he was never asked that question. You know why Bo Biden came up? Because Joe Biden will bring him up in any context as his get-out-of-jail-free card for literally everything. According to NBC News, quote, her never asked that question. According to two people familiar with her five-hour interview with the president over 2 days last October. It was the president, not her or his team, who first introduced Bo Biden's death, they said. Biden raised his son's death after being asked about his workflow at a Virginia rental home from 2016 to 2018, when a ghostwriter was helping him write a memoir about losing Bo to brain cancer in 2015. Investigators had a 2017 recording showing that Biden had told the ghostwriter he found classified stuff in that home. Biden began trying to recall that period by discussing what else was happening in his life. It was at that point in the interview he appeared confused about when Bo died. Biden got the date correct, but not the year. So presumably he was trying to use that as an excuse for why he was confused and upset. But it was 2017, and actually Bo had died already a couple of years prior. And it was Biden who raised it and then blamed her for asking the question. Yeah, things are not going well for Joe Biden. He happens to be, by the way, just an awful. I mean, I say it all the time. He really is a garbage president. In fact, Joe Biden today announced that the Department of Homeland Security is going to shield Palestinians in the United States illegally from deportation and loosen work requirements to funnel them into American jobs. He provided most Palestinians in the United States with, quote, deferred enforcement departure for at least 18 months. Memorandum ensures that most Palestinians cannot be deported from the United States over the next year and a half. Also, DHS is advised to offer employment for non-citizens whose removal has been deferred for the duration of such deferral. And loosen regulations so Palestinians in the United States on F-1 student visas can hold American jobs. If you overstayed your visa, but you're Palestinian, now Joe Biden wants to keep you here indefinitely. Now, all of this, again, is a pander to Dearborn, Michigan. That is what he is doing. He thinks he's going to lose Michigan, and the only way that he's going to maintain Michigan is by pandering super-duper hard on the Israel-Palestinian issue, which presumably is also why he is now attempting to push forward a quote-unquote peace plan that would effectively amount to endless war in the region by unilaterally proposing a Palestinian state. So in other words, you get to kill 1,200 Jews and you get a state, is the new logic from the Biden administration. There was no Palestinian state prior to that because there is no actual governing body in the West Bank or in the Gaza Strip that is not a giant terror group. There are no actual borders. There's no actual economy. There's no actual rule over those areas in any serious sense by any of those governing bodies. Which is why, but kill 1,200 Jews and Joe Biden will give you a state is the logic. According to the Times of Israel, the United States and several Arab partners are preparing a detailed plan for a comprehensive peace deal between Israel and Palestinians that includes a firm timeline for a Palestinian state. Now, I'm not sure exactly how you would have a firm timeline for a Palestinian state, given the fact that you would have to hit markers for that timeline, such as, you know, not teaching all your kids to murder as many Jews as humanly possible, which is exactly what is taught in Palestinian schools, unfortunately. Officials told the Post that they hope to make the plan public once Israel and Hamas agree to a temporary truce aimed at allowing humanitarian aid into Gaza and freeing the hostages still held by the terror group in the Strip. During that report, during the pause, steps would be taken toward implementation of the proposal, including forming an interim Palestinian government that could also rule over Gaza. Good luck on all of this. This is all pie-in-the-sky nonsense. But that's Joe Biden's shtick. Pie-in-the-sky nonsense. He's incredibly, incredibly bad at this particular job. All righty, folks, we've reached the end of today's show, but we'll be back here tomorrow with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The Democrat judge overseeing President Trump's civil trial issued a $354 million penalty Friday and barred Trump from running a business in New York for 3 years. Hofstra University law professor James Sample says President Trump may face significant penalties, but not the end of his businesses.
This isn't a corporate death penalty. It's not a lifetime ban. It's not an indication that under no circumstances can Eric Trump or Donald Trump Jr. ever do business again, or can the Trump business name ever do business in the state of New York. It's not that. However, it is a significant penalty because Judge Engoron found that these were significant transgressions.
May not even matter because President Trump says he will appeal the ruling, and he called it election interference. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin says he is not running for president. The Blue Dog Democrat considered a run for the presidency and thought it would be clear by March if there was a path for a third-party candidate this year. Two juveniles are charged in connection with the shooting at a Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade. Police say the juveniles are being held at a juvenile detention center on gun-related and resisting arrest charges. Harvard is subpoenaed by a U.S. House committee for withholding documents related to an anti-Semitism investigation. North Carolina Republican Virginia Fox is accusing Harvard of obstruction. She said she will not tolerate, quote, delay and defiance of the investigation. Former Senator Jim Talent says it's no surprise Israel is ignoring calls from Western liberals not to invade Rafah.
Well, I mean, the problem here is that Israel is insisting on winning. And the Biden administration and much of Western Europe doesn't want them to win. They were okay with them fighting for a while, but not winning.
Talent Hill, Salem Radio Network. He's impressed with Israel's actions. More at townhall.com.
Jessica, this is the happiest day of my life. Right up there with the day I bought my RV and insured it with Progressive. Man, I love that thing. There are a million fish in the sea, which I'm reminded of every time I bring my RV to the lake, but I vow to love and cherish you just as much as I cherish campsites with full electric and water hookups. I'm so sorry.
Protect your beloved with an RV policy from Progressive. Take as little as 4 minutes to see what you could save at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
This is Dennis Prager, and now a truly exciting new benefit. My monthly online video get-together for PragerTopia Plus members only. For an hour each month, get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. I'll be answering your questions. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at PragerTopia.com. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to PragerTopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
Wholesale inflation accelerated in January.
It's the latest sign that some inflation pressures in the economy remain elevated. The Labor Department says that its producer price index, which tracks inflation before it reaches consumers, rose 0.3% from December to January. That's after it fell slightly from November to December. Measured year over year, producer prices rose by just under 1% in January. The figures follow a surprisingly hot report this week that showed consumer prices easing less than expected last month. I'm Shelley Adler.
Nike announces it will lay off 2% of its workforce, which amounts to over 1,600 jobs. The first round of layoffs started Friday. In December, the company announced a $2 billion cost-cutting plan that included layoffs to deal with sluggish consumer spending. News and analysis at townhall.com. Security forces say Egypt is setting up a buffer zone, as a wall, on its side of the border with Gaza in case a major ground offense by Israel causes a large number of people to leave.
From
The start of the war in Gaza, Egypt has rejected any suggestion that Palestinians could come across the border in large numbers. It's taken that stance partly because it does not want to appear complicit in the large-scale displacement of Palestinians from Gaza, but also out of economic and security concerns. But as the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu appears set on a major offensive in Rafah, despite a chorus of international warnings, it seems that Cairo is taking precautionary measures.
There's been an arrest in a wave of Buddhist temple robberies on the East Coast. Four thieves armed with screwdrivers broke into one temple last Sunday and held several monks hostage while stealing two old iPhones and $60 from a collection box. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi friends, RC here, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, the Diesel Vintage. A smooth burn, a perfect draw, and flavor for days. This is what an expertly crafted Parejo from the farms of A.J. Fernandez offers us. The Diesel Vintage is everything we seek in a fine and exceptional cigar experience. Get yours today at Tobacco & Brew, Redding, California.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Thanks for tuning in to the Matt Walsh Show. The architects of the New World Order are always searching for ever more efficient ways of containing and controlling and dehumanizing us, stripping our lives of beauty, destroying our freedom, and treating us like cattle to be herded and used. As we know, the goal is to have us all living in pods, stacked up on top of each other, eating bugs, owning nothing, and having no privacy. They seek even to lay claim to our inner lives, our consciences. The complete human existence, they believe, is one spent sitting in your rented prison bunk, eating your ration of grasshoppers for the day, numbed by psychotropic drugs while wearing your virtual reality headset to attend an endless string of corporate diversity seminars. And millions of people are already living a life that comes very close to this utopian ideal, but our overlords know that there are still advances yet to be made, new and innovative ways of eating our souls and making our lives even drearier and uglier. Enter the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia with a concept that has been ominously dubbed the land scraper. The Guardian reports, the promotional material is striking. Two mirror-encased skyscrapers stretching more than 100 miles across a swath of desert and mountain terrain, providing a future home for 9 million people. Is it the ultimate in high-density living or a grandiose science fiction fantasy? In short, economists, architects, and analysts are not quite sure. So extravagant is Saudi Arabia's plan to create an urban utopia that even those working on the project, known as The Line, do not yet know if its scale and scope can ever be realized. Skeptics and supporters alike were this week given more insight into the extraordinary ambition of the development, the centerpiece of the futuristic Neom site near the Gulf of Aqaba, when the kingdom's crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, outlines central aspects of what he intends to be one of the most ambitious urban developments built in modern times. Now, the concept will cost about $1 trillion to build, and the hope is that this idea can be exported to many other countries, including our own, to make cities more efficient and eco-friendly, you know, to save the planet and to finally bring into being a real-life sci-fi dystopia. There have been a lot of different visions for how this can be done. Many different people in different countries have had ideas of like what the cities of the future will look like in order to save the planet. And this is what this one's all about. Here's a promotional video explaining it a little bit more. Watch.
For too long, humanity has existed within dysfunctional and polluted cities that ignore nature. Now, a revolution in civilization is taking place. Imagine a traditional city and consolidating its footprint, designing to protect and enhance nature. The Line will be home to 9 million residents, and will be built with a footprint of just 34 square kilometers. And we are designing it to provide a healthier, more sustainable quality of life. The Lions communities are organized in three dimensions. Residents have access to all their daily needs within five-minute walk neighborhoods. And the Lions infrastructure makes it possible to travel end-to-end in 20 minutes with no need for cars, resulting in zero carbon emissions. By leveraging AI technology, services are autonomous, saving you time and effort. Designed by world-leading architects, the line is 500 meters tall, 200 meters wide, 170 kilometers long, and housed within an elegant mirror glass facade. Intelligent solutions create efficiency and year-round temperate microclimate with natural ventilation. Energy and water supplies are 100% renewable. The line is designed as a series of unique communities, offering a wealth of amenities, providing equitable views and immediate access to the surrounding nature.
Oh, well, I mean, as long as you'll have equitable views, because that's the kind of view we all want, isn't it? You hike up to the top of a mountain, look out at God's creation and say, wow, the view up here is so equitable. That's a very normal and human reaction, right? Anyway, the plan, as you see, is to build a narrow 100-mile-long mirrored prison in which you can live and work and never leave and then die. As others have pointed out, it looks very much like a sleek and modern border wall of sorts, actually. So how quickly we went from, no, don't build the wall, to build the wall and live inside it. And speaking of living inside walls, this plan appears to have been inspired partly from sci-fi dystopian films that the architects have mistakenly taken as how-to guides, but then also partly from the living quarters of household pests. What they've come up with is an exciting opportunity for anyone who's ever dreamed of living in a termite colony. It may seem like, you know, you'd have a rather dismal existence inside this thing, surrounded on all sides all the time by glass and steel, totally cut off from nature, but at least you'll have the entertainment of watching birds constantly smash into the enormous mirrored exterior walls. Same for any other species of animals whose migration pattern happens to intersect with the human filing cabinet that they're building. Now, it may seem pointless to complain about this. It's in Saudi Arabia. It's not here. Actually, it's not even in Saudi Arabia. It's nowhere. This is a concept, a plan. We don't know if they'll actually be able to build it. And if they do build the thing, it seems highly likely that the experiment will fail in spectacular fashion, mitigating the risk that something similar would be attempted in this country. There are many ways that it could fail, you know, starting with the enormous damage that a few well-placed suicide bombers could do in a place like that. This is the Middle East, after all. Not to mention the fact that you'd be living in a literal transmission tube for disease. In fact, the whole thing seems like it was designed by a virus, but both the biological and computer variety, because the entire structure is supposed to run on computers and artificial intelligence, leaving its inhabitants totally vulnerable to cyber attack. By the way, what happens when someone takes out the generators in the giant glass rectangular prison in the middle of the desert? What then? Of course, the worst thing that could happen, though, is that the monstrosity is built and it works and no disasters befall it. And all of its inhabitants are kept satiated and numbed enough that there are no uprisings where the peasant class violently overthrows the elites of the rectangle, eventually setting fire to the whole thing and dancing around it as it burns. If nothing like that were to happen, tragically, then perhaps eventually we would end up with something similar here. Either way, whether they try to force us into this particular hellscape or they construct a slightly different sort of futuristic livestock stable for us, the fact is that this is the direction that the powers that be wish to take us and are taking us. So it's worth pointing out the problems with this plan and any plan similar to it. And by plan similar to it, I'm including modern day cities as they currently exist, which in their construction are only slightly less horrifying than the Total Recall-esque concepts that people like the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia are coming up with. And all of the problems, including the ones I've already outlined, can be summarized this way. This actually is just a problem with leftism in general. It does not take into account human nature. This is one of the defining features of the elites in society, the globalists, the utopianists. They do not account for or understand human nature, both the good and the bad of human nature. So let's start with the bad. Human beings in our fallen state are naturally disposed to antagonism, tribalism, hostility, violence. That doesn't mean that every human being is a violent savage. It just means that humans have that natural capacity. And the more that you cram humans together into tight living quarters, the more that you're going to bring this side out. And since everybody is living in such a densely populated environment, when the violence does emerge, as it so inevitably will, the harm it inflicts will be exponentially magnified. One violent psychopath by himself out in the woods makes a good villain in a horror film, but the violent psychopath living in the city, right on top of hundreds of others of other people, is by far the greater danger. Especially because he can now form tribes, gangs, with other violent psychopaths, and pretty soon your beautiful, harmonious, sardine can existence has turned into a dirty, grimy, bloody, awful nightmare. For an example of this phenomenon, see any city, anywhere. Now, that's not to say that the violence and crime in the city and the violence and crime that would turn the giant rectangle into a glass prison of despair is all due to people living too close to each other. That's part of it. The bigger part is, of course, the breakdown of the family, the destabilization of necessary social structures, the deliberate institutional effort to undermine law and order, etc. But these are all the work of the very same people who are planning the utopian cities of the future, so those problems are all sure to follow. But human nature is not all bad, thankfully. One of our nobler characteristics is that we hunger for adventure, creativity, independence. Now, there may be people who, for whatever reason, for whatever perverse reason, enjoy cities, but everybody feels at peace in nature. Everybody can appreciate a beautiful lake or a stream or a mountain. People go to cities for convenience, for job opportunities, for bars and restaurants and nightlife and so on. They don't go there for beauty. They certainly don't go there for peace. They don't go there to fulfill any of the deeper longings of the soul. The ideal, most whole and complete way to live is on land you own, in a house that is yours, where you can breathe fresh air and enjoy at least a little bit of quiet and solitude and have, along with your family, at least a semblance of independence and self-reliance. But the issue is that we're harder to control and manipulate when we live like that, which is why the powers that be wish to usher us back closer together on property we don't own, living lives we don't control, packed into our stalls like so many horses in a massive modernized barn that smells only slightly better, if we're lucky. That's just no way to live. Yet it's how they want us to live, which is why we should live anyway, but that way. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Life insurance. What's your excuse for putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think your work coverage is enough? There's a lot of excuses for putting off life insurance, but one big reason why you shouldn't. If the unexpected were to happen to you, who would pay the mortgage, the kids' tuition, and all the other bills? In a time of grief, the last thing you would want is for your family to have to sell the house and struggle to survive financially. At Ethos, we could get you covered in just 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Rates can increase the longer you wait, so no more excuses. Take 10 minutes today and discover the modern way to get the life insurance coverage you need. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com.
We'll be back with the Matt Walsh Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson. and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Hey, Redding, when was the last time you experienced Black Bear Diner? Entrepreneur Magazine recently recognized this hometown diner as a top-growing national restaurant. Why? Because there's always plenty for your paws. With delicious home-style options that deliver choice, value, variety, and a cozy way to make memories and celebrate occasions. Come on in and remind yourself what guests all over the country are discovering.
Black Bear Diner.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
08.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. All right, this is from the New York Post. Important news here. This husband and wife improved their... I should have read this article ahead of time. Oh, I'm just going to read the first... This is a New York Post. This is the first sentence of the article. It says, this husband and wife improved their boom boom by sleeping in separate bedrooms. This made it past an editor at a major news publication. It uses the term boom boom to refer to sexual relations. Anyway, Terry Ann Michelle, a married mother of three, unwittingly sparked a now viral social media controversy after revealing that she and her husband, Jamie, improved their sex life by sleeping in different beds in different rooms of their house. Michelle told the Post, our lovemaking is actually better because we're both getting better sleep and it puts us in better moods. And we've made it more exciting by coming up with fun ways to be intimate. Afterwards, we're like, okay, it's time for bed and we sleep in our separate rooms, she added, noting that they do share their master suite on weekends. Michelle, a hairdresser and a stay-at-home mom who lives in a six-bedroom house in Ontario, Canada, briefed her over 20,000 TikTok followers of her bizarre arrangements on Tuesday. And this is what she says. She sleeps in different rooms. Experts agree. So there are experts on this subject of sleeping arrangements for couples, people that are apparently experts we're supposed to go to. Experts agree that a bedroom breakup can profoundly enhance a pair's romance. Quote, choosing to sleep in separate beds and even separate rooms in order to increase the quality and frequency of great sleep is a wonderful way to enhance your sex life because it also puts a big emphasis on your own physical health. Sex and relationship expert Viviana Coles explained to the Post, and anything that you can do to increase and improve your physical health enhances your sexual health. You know, what I want to know, first of all, is anytime I hear about sex and relationship experts, I want to know your own marital history. That's what we should know. I don't care where you went to school. I don't care at all about your academic resume. I want to know if you're a relationship expert, are you married, and do you have kids, And how long have you been married? You're not in the running to be a relationship expert if you're not at least married. So that rules you out. If you're not married, you haven't gotten to like the sort of the finish line of the opening stages of a relationship and actually tied the knot, then you're not a relationship expert. If you've been married for certainly less than a decade, you're not in the running to be a relationship expert. And if you don't have kids, you're also not a relationship expert. Because that's when the relationship is really tried by fire, is when you have kids. And there are all kinds of challenges that you meet in your relationship that relate to having kids, that if you've never been through that, then you can't possibly be an expert. And then even if you have crossed that entire gauntlet, I'm not sure that you're still not a relationship expert. You maybe have some expertise in your own relationship, but as far as other people's, I'm not sure what you really have to offer. Here's what I will say. As someone who, at least, I am married. I've been married for 10 years, and I have kids. So you can notice I kind of set this up so that I qualify as a relationship expert. That all happens to be a coincidence. As far as sleeping in separate rooms and separate beds, yeah, I know the argument is that, well, my spouse snores, I can't sleep. First of all, you suffer through that. That's what you've signed up for. And you can bond in that suffering. My wife complains sometimes because she claims that I tend to snore. I've never heard myself snore. This is her allegation. And she complains about that sometimes. And I tell her, like, this is, you should be, to hear the beautiful noises of my snoring, you should delight in that. You know, you should, this is an amazing opportunity for you every single night to lie awake and reflect about how blessed you are to be married to me, you know, and to hear the sweet song that I am singing in my sleep to you. And if there's suffering that goes through that, then you know what? You are strengthened in that suffering while I sleep soundly. And the other great thing is that I sleep okay and I wake up and I'm fine. And you should take some solace in that. So I've explained that to my wife. The argument doesn't resonate with her that well, but that's the thing. And but also the other thing is you have to think about symbolism can be important in a marriage. Wearing a wedding ring is obviously symbolism. And you could say, oh, what does a wedding ring matter? Well, you just take the wedding ring off. You don't need to wear a wedding ring. It's just a piece of equipment. It's just a piece of metal or whatever on your hand. Yeah, but it's symbolism. It's about your bond with this other person. So you have to think about if you decide to take your wedding ring off and go about your day without it, what does that symbolize? What does that choice symbolize? It doesn't symbolize anything good. Separating into separate rooms, there's a lot of symbolism there. You're also setting a precedent. And part of the precedent is we have a problem and we're going to solve it by separating. And once you lay that groundwork, you don't want to see where that leads. So I wouldn't recommend it. As the person who doesn't, you know, who sleeps well, I don't recommend it. All right, here's an important story. This is from Fox News. It says a Starbucks drive-thru customer has gone viral for ending a 23-car pay-it-forward streak when he learned the customer behind him had an order total of $46. In a TikTok video, anonymous user I'mBlessed55 documented his experience, which showed that he ordered a venti frappuccino. And then he found out about this pay-it-forward thing, and he found out that the car behind him had a tab of $46, whereas his was $6. And we've talked about this on the show. I canceled Pay It Forward. I canceled them, and they're still happening somehow. But this man, this is what we need. We would talk about the need for people to take a stand, have courage. Well, this, I think, is real courage, to take a stand right there and say, no, I'm not going to participate in this. And as you know, the pay it forward, we call it pay it forward. It's actually pay it backward because that's the game. Like someone decides to start this empty virtue signaling process and they say, oh, I'm going to pay for the order of the car behind me. And then you pull up and they say, oh, the car in front of you paid for you, yours. And at first you think, well, great. That was very nice of them. You want to drive away. But then the cashier says, would you like to pay for the car behind you? Why would I want to do that? This is a perfect illustration of what virtue and charity and generosity has become in our country today. It's totally empty and pointless. I mean, everybody in line at Starbucks, they all have expendable income. That's why they're there. These are not, if you want to give money to help the poor, then certainly go do that. Why are you going to waste money paying for the coffees in the car behind you? Now, absolutely, the right thing to do is accept the generosity of the person behind you, cut it off, and go about your life. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tiger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no side effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult to treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best-tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So, what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world: family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue, open and free, every other Sunday, right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. All right, so this is quite a morbid and sad story about what the LA Times calls and what all pro-euthanasia people call, euphemistically, death with dignity. And I saw this circulating yesterday online. This is the headline is, One Last Trip, Gabriella Walsh's Decision to Die and Celebrate Life on Her Own Terms. And it continues with the story. It says, Gabriella Walsh knew she wanted to die on a Saturday. She'd settled on July 16th, dressing that morning in a flower crown and a T-shirt with a picture of a dragonfly, an image that had comforted her in recent weeks. She took a deep inhale from a bottle of lavender oil and listened to a playlist of sea sounds. Earlier in the morning, friends and family nuzzled up against her in bed. Rest easy, they told her, and keep wandering. I just feel like I'm going on a trip, she said calmly. Within 2 hours, she would drink a fatal dose of medications prescribed under California's Death with Dignity law, which allows some terminally ill patients to request drugs to end their lives. The option had given her profound comfort in her final weeks, as had knowing that in the end she'd have Jack Barsigyan, the registered nurse who managed her hospice care, and Jill Schock, a death doula, at either side of her bed. A death doula. My God. Now, we should be very wary about this idea that dignified death is suicide. We shouldn't just be wary of it. We should reject it. We should passionately reject this idea that the most dignified way to die is through suicide. And, of course, the implication here is because this was a woman who's terminally ill with cancer, and she chose death with dignity, which was suicide. Implication is that if she had not committed suicide and allowed the cancer to kill her, then that's an undignified death. Yes, we should absolutely reject that. Drinking poison given to you by a doctor is dignified. And even if you can't grasp like the moral argument against an individual committing suicide as a means of escaping suffering, if you can't grasp the moral argument, then you should at least be able to understand the other great objection to euthanasia, which is that it further subverts and perverts the medical profession. And because doctors should not be in the position of killing people. And I know that we kind of take it for granted these days that doctors kill and harm people because that's what so many doctors do, and there are billion-dollar industries erected around this. With abortion, with the gender industry, killing, harming, mutilating, drugging, poisoning. Like, doctors do that quite a bit these days. But they shouldn't. That's not what medicine is. That's why traditionally the Hippocratic Oath is do no harm. I mean, the idea that poison, just the simple concept of calling poison medicine, well, no, medicine treats. Medicine is supposed to treat and heal. You have something wrong with you, and you take medicine to treat it, to heal it. Poison. If medicine is poison, what is the disease that it's treating? Life? I guess so. Euthanasia tells us that life itself is a disease, and it can be treated with the medicine of a poison that kills somebody. One other point about this. Euthanasia, especially under the euphemism of death with dignity, is what you get from a death-phobic culture. This is our fear of death, our refusal to acknowledge and grapple with the reality of death that produces this. And I know it seems kind of paradoxical. It seems counterintuitive because why would you advocate for death? Why would you advocate for suicide if you're afraid of death? And why would you be pro-death and yet afraid of it? How can you be pro-death and rejecting it at the same time? Well, because this is an attempt to hide from the reality of death. You know, you hear even in the story there that the suicidal person is saying, oh, I'm just going on a trip. And you have a death doula and you're taking medicine. This is actually, again, it's a paradox because you are directly killing yourself, but it is actually the fear of death, the rejection of death, the unwillingness to accept the reality of death and of our own mortality. What we want, and the reason why people support euthanasia, really, is because they want to see death as something that we can contain, that we can take control over, that we can have mastery over. You often hear of the euthanasia victim that they were dying on their own terms. These are my terms. I'm going to do it my way. As if they have taken control over life and death. Oh yeah, the grim reaper has no purchase here. I'm going to do it my way. But that's just not how it works. Death is not something that we can control. It is an ever-present reality. Something that we should accept, a reality that we should accept. Rather than, in effect, you know, using death to it as a means of escaping it. This is from a really important story here from the New York Post. It says a model has claimed that she doesn't need a boyfriend because she's so in love with herself. Luana Sandian said that she is autosexual, which is a self-love relationship that can go beyond the erotic sphere. The divorced model adds that she doesn't need a boyfriend to experience sexual pleasure and revealed that she will even be happy enjoying Valentine's Day alone. She says, being autosexual, as I see it, is along the same lines as being an independent person. Luana claimed that she's not thinking about having a relationship with someone else at the moment. She continued, I found myself single. It's the best thing a woman can do for herself. And she explains what autosexuality is. She says, it means I'm attracted to myself. I always felt that way. I just didn't know there was a name for it. And then she continues, and this was interesting. It's nice to know I'm not crazy or a massive narcissist. It's something real that a lot of people experience. It was very important to find out that I'm not alone. As sexy as that may sound, and it is, it's kind of self-love on steroids. There was always a part of me that thought it was weird, so it's nice to have this statement that it's normal. And so we see the same process carried out yet again, which, of course, by the way, this it is narcissism. I mean, it's like pretty much the definition of narcissism. Being literally in love with yourself. I would be interested in seeing the headline 10 years from now. You know, the headline now is model claims she doesn't need a boyfriend because she's so in love with herself. 10 years from now, the headline is ex-model says that she's alone and miserable because of rampant misogyny. You know, that's going to be the headline 10 years from now, because the thing that these women don't understand is that, your youth and your beauty, all of that fades pretty quickly. And it's just one of the sad realities of being a mortal human being. And we're being introduced to a lot of the realities of being a mortal human being in the last few years, and people don't seem to like any of them. And that's just, it's true. A lot of it is really not very fun. But another one of those realities, along with the fact that you're going to die, another one is that if you live kind of a normal length of life, most of your life is going to be spent not youthful and physically beautiful. The majority of your life, you will be in that state. So what you have right now is very temporary and very fleeting. And if that's all you are, if that's the only thing you care to cultivate, then once that goes, you're going to have nothing. And when you're walking around now and saying, well, doesn't matter because I'm young, I'm beautiful, I don't need to try to impress anybody,
I don't need companionship with anybody. People are fawning over me. You know, when you act that way, eventually that goes away. You lose the youth and beauty. But people remember what a miserable person you are. And so you've alienated everyone in your life. You don't have your beauty to fall back on. And now you're going to spend the rest of your life just alone, miserable. And that's what it's going to be. But she also says I'm in love with myself. I'm very obsessed with myself. All I care about is myself. So she's divorced. Her marriage didn't work out. Big shocker there. And then she says that she went, I guess, on the internet, as people do, and she discovered that there's a name for this. There's a label, and that other people feel the same way she does about themselves. And just discovering that she's not alone, which is kind of ironic because she says that she wants to be alone, she wants to be alone. She's okay being alone. Yet it was very important to her that she's not alone in feeling this way at the same time. So she wants to be alone, but she also doesn't want to be alone. So you find that tension there. And so it was important for her to find out that there are other people in this quote-unquote community and that there's a label for it. And the minute you can label it and you discover that there are other people that carry the same label, that in your mind, that legitimizes it. And that makes it a legitimate identity. And thus an identity that deserves to be celebrated. And probably we should take autosexual, if they're not already, and add them to the alphabet, LGBTQIA. Maybe, is autosexual one of the A's that's already in there? I don't know. And we see, this is the same process we've seen many times. Where you take people, they have a certain compulsion. A compulsion that they should be resisting and suppressing. In her case, it's a compulsion towards obsessive selfishness. It's bad. Okay. People might experience it, but it's bad. You should try to suppress it. You should try to be a better person. You should try to develop some virtue. And maybe in a different time, someone like herself, that's what she would have done. Because she would have assumed that there's something wrong with feeling this way. She would have assumed that she's the only one. She's not going to go out in public and talk to people face to face and say, hey, I'm in love with myself and I'm the only person I care about. She would never say that to someone. So she would feel that shame and she would feel the need to change herself, and she would change maybe. But now, because of the internet, whatever compulsion you feel, you could just go Google it, discover that there are other people in that, quote, community, that there's even a fancy label for it. And now, rather than suppressing this and maybe getting over it and becoming a better person, now you've embraced it. And it begins to sort of eat you alive, and it's the only thing about you. It's your entire identity. So the same old story the same song we've heard many times before. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
The National Wild Turkey Federation's 25th Annual Redding Chapter Hunting Heritage Banquet is Saturday, March 9th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. To purchase tickets for the event, or if you would like more information, contact Candy Muse at 530-526-8350. That's 530-526-8350. Or online at nwtf.org/event. Sponsored by Johnny Morris Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, Benelli, Voigt Harness Company, La Crosse, Sportsman's Guide, and Tacticam.
Hi,
this is Linda Bott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Sure.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. You know, we're quite used to hearing insane things from the body positivity camp, but yesterday a body positivity activist and fat acceptance activist named Monica Crete upped the ante considerably on her social media accounts, which have all now been set to private. Crete calls herself a writer, consultant, educator fighting weight stigma in public health and medicine. She also hosts seminars on the topic of being fat. Unfortunately, you missed the most recent one, hosted alongside activist Mikey Mercedes, who is a woman, by the way, although I didn't have to tell you that she's a woman because the body positivity people are always women. Can you remember the last time you saw a man's fatness celebrated? When's the last time one of these body positivity fat people was a man? It like never happens because you're still allowed to fat shame men. It's specifically women who have the right to balloon to whatever size they please without any criticism from anybody. So anyway, the seminar was titled Fat Phobia in Public Health and was specifically meant for weight-inclusive dietitians. Of course, the term weight-inclusive dietitian is a bit like the term cancer-inclusive oncologist or cockroach-inclusive pest control. You can't include, that is, support and celebrate, the very thing your job requires you to treat and destroy. So there are many such contradictions in the world of the body positivity activist, many absurdities, and they all culminate in this tweet from Monica. She wrote, quote, "Periodic reminder that treating and preventing obesity actually means trying to conversion therapy fat people into becoming thin people despite zero evidence that this is remotely possible." You heard that right. Monica, the consultant and educator, says that dieting is a form of conversion therapy and moreover that there is zero evidence that dieting actually makes anyone skinnier. Monica believes, or wants you to believe anyway, that caloric intake actually has nothing at all to do with weight. What about all the millions of people who have managed to drop weight by limiting calories? Well, they're all mythological. They don't exist. If you're one of those people, you don't exist, I'm sorry to say. Or else you're part of a grand fat-phobic conspiracy. A conspiracy which includes almost every doctor and nutritionist in the world, by the way. And what about the fact that starving people always tend to be very skinny? So that's a coincidence. And the fact that obesity is only common in Western countries where people eat a lot of food and hardly move. What about the almost complete absence of obesity in the third world? For that matter, what about the fact that our skeletons and internal organs literally were not made to carry the kind of weight that Monica and her fellow fat activists are forcing their skeletons and organs to carry? That's why fat people die young. That's why there are no morbidly obese 85-year-olds. Your body at that age just can't handle it. It can't carry all that weight around anymore. What about that? Don't all of these facts point incontrovertibly to the notion that you get fat when you eat a lot and get skinny when you eat less? No, says Monica. Don't ask her to explain herself either. It makes her feel good to see the world the way she sees it, and your job is to enforce whatever perception of the world and herself makes her feel good. That's your sacred responsibility because she says so. Now, as crazy as all of this is, the most revealing aspect is the way that she uses the term fat people and skinny people.
Now, she doesn't mean fat and skinny as a mere description of a transient physical trait. When she says fat people, she does not mean people who happen to have an unhealthy amount of lard on their bodies. No, for her, fat is an immutable and defining characteristic. It's an identity. It's who she is deep inside. It's her very soul is fat. Fatness is an identity. I tell you, we're only months away, since I'm making predictions today on the show. I can also tell you this. We're only months away from somebody coming up with a special pronouns for fat people, which will give a whole new meaning to the term trans fat. And I'm not joking about the pronouns. In our culture, the special pronoun, it's how you affirm and consecrate an identity. It's like a baptism. And the good thing is that the blessed pronouns, though they are supposed to have this mystical significance, can change any time. So just for fun, let's look at another example of this phenomenon, dipping into the TikTok well with the help of our friend Libs of TikTok, who found this one. Here's a woman announcing her new pronouns. Listen to this.
Hey, guys. I think it's finally time for an update on my gender series. I'm not going to lie. I have no idea what part this is, but let's go. Okay, first off, I am now just going by Kay now. I no longer like to be called Kayla unless it's for work, just because it's kind of confusing with the paperwork and stuff. So, yeah. I also am now using all pronouns instead of none. I don't regret not going by any pronouns before, but I do feel that it just that's what's happening. Another thing though, I am still xenogender. That is still my gender that I identify with, and I am still bisexual, so those things have not changed at all. So yeah, this is just a little quick update that I have for y'all, and I don't know. Just let me know if you have any questions. I'd love to answer them.
Okay, make sure to update your scoreboard now. Kayla is now Kay. She's still xenogender, whatever that is, but she went from no pronouns to all pronouns. That's the update. Now, how could she have had no pronouns before? Did she not exist? Was she some kind of phantom or something? And how can she go by all pronouns now? What does she really mean, all pronouns? Even like it? Can I call her an it? I suppose so. She is a man, a woman, a thing, a nothing, and everything. She is all things and no things. She transcends time and space. She's like some sort of pantheistic deity. And you better not so much as suggest otherwise, because your job again is to affirm. As we've learned, to do anything less than affirm, to express even mild disagreement with a person's self-perception, is to engage in conversion therapy. And conversion therapy is the ultimate sin, because it's an attack on a person's self-identity, which is to say that it's an attack on their entire world, on their reality, because they recognize no world or reality aside from the one they've created in their heads. Now, I want to get a little bit more philosophical here. So let's bring together fat acceptance stuff, pronouns, hysteria about conversion therapy, and all the rest of it. What's really going on? I think what's happening is that we are conscious beings to begin with. We are aware of ourselves, aware of our own fragility and impermanence. And as far as we know, we're the only creatures in the universe cursed with such an awareness. So we find ourselves floating in this vast ocean of existence, wondering about the reason and the purpose for it all. We came from non-existence, and we'll fade back into the abyss from which we came, at least physically. And we know all of that. The only way to survive is to reach out for an anchor point, you know, something stable. Try to find an island to rest on. Because we can't be conscious beings floating along with no purpose and yet aware of it the whole time. We can't do that indefinitely. There's just no way to live. You can't live that way. People who try to live that way end up not living for very long. The problem that we face in the West is that we had an anchor, we had an island, but we abandoned it. We gave up on God, on religion, which was our source of identity, our sense of purpose, our solid ground. We decided that it wasn't good enough for us, so we jumped back into the sea with no real idea of where else to go instead. So now we're adrift, aimless and meandering, and totally susceptible to any storm that comes along. We have no shelter from it, no escape from the crashing waves. What we're witnessing with the proliferation of gender identities, the pronoun madness, the fat acceptance stuff, are a bunch of drowning adrift people reaching out for anchors, for little islands, for some kind of stability and identity, having traded in the one true source of stability and identity available to us. But these anchors aren't really anchors, because they're not anchored in anything.
They don't go all the way down to the seafloor. The islands are just driftwood at best. They don't provide the sense of purpose and belonging and worth that these people want from them, which is why they're always trading them out for something else. But really, they're still lost in the sea, hopeless and alone. So I guess it's a good thing that fat people are more buoyant, on second thought. I had a good philosophical thing going there. I ruined it with a fat joke. I should have done that, but I did. In any case, the point is, Monica Crete, the fat acceptance activist, is today canceled. That's all we have for today and this week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Until then, Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. A Democrat New York judge orders the former president and his companies to pay $355 million in penalties for what the judge described as an exaggeration of wealth. Hofstra University law professor James Sample says former President Trump will try to turn this judgment to his advantage.
Donald Trump will raise money by virtue of having lost money today. It's a paradox. A $350 million judgment against Mr. Trump and his family and his business associates and his businesses today might actually be a fundraising boon for Mr. Trump.
The former president's lawyers say they will appeal this ruling. Alina Hava said this verdict is a manifest injustice, plain and simple, the culmination of a multi-year politically fueled witch hunt that was designed to take down Donald Trump, end quote. A Northern California judge is under investigation by a state agency for alleged ethical violations.
Allegations include making anti-Semitic remarks when addressing a deputy public defender, failing to recuse himself from cases involving attorneys and other people he socialized with, sexually harassing women he socialized with, and others. The Humboldt County Superior Court judge is charged with 19 ethical violations by the California Commission on Judicial Performance. The judge has until February 22nd to respond to the commission. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Harvard University is subpoenaed by a U.S. House committee for withholding documents related to an anti-Semitism investigation. The chairwoman of the Education and Workforce Committee is accusing Harvard of obstruction. She said she will not tolerate, quote, delay and defiance of the investigation. A heavy police presence on the scene after a house explosion in Virginia Friday night. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The fact of pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This is Dennis Prager, and now a truly exciting new benefit. My monthly online video get together for PragerTopia Plus members only. For an hour each month, get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. I'll be answering your questions. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at PragerTopia.com. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to PragerTopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
Federal accident investigators are pushing for better cockpit voice recorders.
The investigators are pointing to limits of the device on the jetliner that suffered a door panel blowout last month over Oregon. The National Transportation Safety Board says the Federal Aviation Administration should require all current planes to have recorders that can capture 25 hours of audio. That would be up from the current standard of 2 hours.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting, the FAA has proposed the 25-hour standard, but only for new planes. Airlines typically keep planes for many years, so much of the existing fleet would not be covered. The former president of CBS is in hot water, allegedly interfering with an LAPD investigation. Les Moonves has been under investigation for allegedly sexually assaulting a former employee, and according to newly released documents, he was forced to pay over $11,000 in fines for trying to influence a police officer. More at townhall.com. There's some exciting medical news.
A medication used to treat asthma can now be used to help people with food allergies avoid severe reactions. The FDA has approved a new use for Xolair. It's the first medication approved to reduce allergic reactions caused by accidental exposure to foods such as peanuts, cashews, milk products, and eggs. About 7 million people in the U.S. have the type of food allergies that can cause rapid, serious symptoms. Xolair is an injection taken every 2 to 4 weeks, depending on the patient. John Scott reporting.
New Hampshire lawmakers approved Governor Chris Sununu's request to send 15 National Guard volunteers to the Texas border with Mexico. Sununu called fentanyl the state's most serious health crisis. He recently traveled to Eagle Pass, Texas, to support Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who has been in a standoff with the Biden administration. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens.
Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
He abused it.
That's what he's here for. He's a leftist and a dimwit, a numbskull. But we've got that going. So now this FBI informant, who was a trusted FBI informant for many, many years, big secret, you couldn't talk about this informant because sources and methods, I know, is in the New York Times. Well, now he's been charged with lying about the Biden family. And he disagrees, of course. He says he didn't lie. A former FBI informant has been charged with lying about United States President Joe Biden and his son Hunter's ties to a Ukrainian energy firm. David Weiss, coincidentally, the special counsel leading a criminal probe into Hunter Biden, hasn't charged Hunter Biden, but he's charged an FBI informant, a longtime FBI informant, very trusted FBI informant, who's been feeding them all kinds of reliable information for years. But when he ponied up the goods on the Biden family, well, now he's facing 25 years in prison. And David Weiss, the Delaware U.S. attorney who had ties to Bo Biden, you may remember, and the Biden family, but it's not the Soviet Union or anything. We're not a corrupt government. We're not a corrupt country. Pay no attention to that. So David Weiss, special counsel leading the criminal investigation under Biden, said on Thursday that a grand jury had indicted Alexander Smirnoff on charges of making false statements and creating a false and fictitious record. Based on that standard, we should charge the New York Times and the Washington Post with a long series of crimes, and CNN and MSDNC and George Stephanopoulos at ABC. How about all that Russian collusion and Hillary Clinton's opposition research not being intelligence materials? Weiss, with his Biden family ties, said Smirnoff, who is 43 years old, was arrested, listen to this now, at Harry Reid International Airport, what a coincidence, in Las Vegas, Nevada, after returning to the U.S. from abroad. They love arresting people at airports, don't they? If convicted, Smirnoff could face up to 25 years in prison. Could face 25 years in prison. Despite repeated admonishments that he shouldn't be critical of the Biden family, that he must provide truthful information to the FBI, and that he must not fabricate evidence. Seems like good advice for an FBI informant. I think he probably understood that. The defendant provided false, derogatory information. That's the problem. It's derogatory information about the Bidens, prosecutors said in the indictment filed in federal court. Isn't this fascinating? Smirnoff claimed that Hunter Biden, who sat on the board of the Kiev-based Burisma gas company and his father's name, used his father's name to solicit millions of dollars in bribes from the company. Smirnoff told the FBI that Burisma executives had said that they hired Hunter Biden to, quote, protect us through his dad from all kinds of problems. Right. And that they paid Hunter and Joe Biden $5 million each in 2015 or 2016, according to the indictment. 2015 or 2016. Joe couldn't remember which year it was that Bo Biden died. So I guess that Smirnoff gets a little wiggle room there. Republicans seized on Smirnoff claims, Republicans did, see, to accuse the Biden family of corruption. No kidding. And justify a U.S. House of Representatives inquiry into the president's impeachment. So now they're going to use this to say, oh, you can drop the whole investigation on Capitol Hill now, right? Now, when I saw this, it was quite fascinating. The timing, I thought, was remarkable because we learned something else this morning, too. And the other thing that we learned was also quite fascinating. And it has to do with Vladimir Putin and his Russian commie, you know, left-wing, at least quasi-dictatorship. And that is that a political enemy of Vladimir Putin, Alexei Navalny, it was learned today, died in prison because, you see, Vlad the Impaler imprisoned his political enemy, Alexei Navalny. And you remember he disappeared. We talked about it here. He disappeared in the vast Russian prison system and was weeks later found to have been moved to a gulag prison north of the Arctic Circle in Russia. And he had been squirreled away there. Nobody is allowed to visit him. And now we learn Alexei Navalny, vocal critic of Vladimir Putin, dies in prison, colon, Russian government. ABC fake news reports out of London. Alexei Navalny, a longtime Russian opposition politician and critic of Vladimir Putin, that's a dangerous thing to be, often considered to be a vocal and prominent thorn in the side of the Russian government, has died in prison at age 47, according to the prison service. Isn't that fascinating? He's died in prison unexpectedly because that's what commies do. They kill their political enemies. Now, Smirnov, the Ukrainian FBI informant in good standing for many years, is 43 years old, right? And so he's still got plenty of time to die in prison later. Just extraordinary stuff. So the Biden administration is mirroring Vladimir Putin. And, you know, Vladimir Putin just endorsed Joe Biden for president in an interview day before yesterday. I shared that with you yesterday. Vladimir Putin has endorsed Joe Biden for president. Joe Biden, I think, by calling for imprisoning his political enemies, is endorsing Vladimir Putin, too. How many hours was it? Honestly, this our country is becoming more and more like the Soviet stinking Union because they're not liberals. They're the left. Absolutely extraordinary stuff. So the FBI informant, again, in good standing, Smirnov, for a great many years, is now being charged by the Biden Justice Department and the Delaware, coincidence, U.S. attorney, who is investigating Hunter Biden. And who gets charged? Hunter Biden? Joe Biden? No, a guy named Smirnov, who narked on him, Alexander Smirnov, who said that he was told by his sources in Ukraine that Joe Biden got $5 million. And that Hunter Biden got $5 million from Burisma and is the Democrat Delaware U.S. attorney investigating Hunter Biden, slapping the cuffs on Hunter Biden. No. How about that illegal gun and the lying on the federal form and how about the cocaine in the White House and how about a long list of things and all the money coming from China and from Ukraine and from Romania and from Russia? And from one of the stands, was it Kazakhstan? And that's all okay, millions and millions of dollars. But this Delaware U.S. attorney, he's got a Ukrainian FBI informant that has now been charged, and he's facing 25 years in prison, Smirnov is. It is good to be a Democrat, isn't it? Honestly, and don't cross the Democrats, don't cross Biden, because you'll end up in a gulag north of the Arctic Circle, where you will die, and it will be announced one Friday, it won't be big news. Just amazing stuff. Yeah, he made false reports to the FBI in June of 2020 that executives associated with the Ukrainian energy company Burisma paid Hunter and Joe Biden $5 million each in 2015 or 2016. Now, Alexander Smirnov is going to tell you, well, that's what I was told by the Burisma officials. So why am I being threatened with 25 years in prison? And the correct answer is the left is here. This is not liberalism. This is the left. Completely different thing. So I've got to say the next Alexei Navalny, I think, is a Ukrainian man named Alexander Smirnov, who's been working for the FBI as an informant. Remember, they didn't want his name released right now. Now here they are. Listen to this. Huh. Isn't that fascinating? We live in very corrupt times, I'm sorry to have to say, but our country, the United States of America, is a very corrupt country. The intelligence agencies have been corrupted and lied to us on the lead up to the 2020 presidential election. They're lying to us now. Penitentiary face Brennan, who voted for the Communist Party candidate Gus Hall for the presidency of the United States, made CIA director by Barack Obama, who, of course, was mentored by Frank Marshall Davis, a card-carrying member of the Communist Party. The Saul Alinsky gang members who have taken over the Democrat Party and the United States government are abusing their power every time you turn around. In 2012, the Obama-Biden administration used the IRS to silence their political enemies. And then, of course, in 2016, the FBI was brought in to to try to crush the story about the Hunter Biden laptop, saying it was Russian disinformation. It's funny how so many things involve the word Russia. And Ukraine, of course. Lots of money. Everybody knows the piggy bank that Ukraine has been for politicians for such a long time, mostly Democrats, but not entirely. And boy, this is a crazy time we're living in. There's no doubt about that. It is. So let me see. In the IRS used in 2012 during Barack Obama's reelection to target Tea Party and Patriot organizations, keep them on the sidelines. And that's no big deal, and nobody's held accountable for that. Barack Obama did that. And his corrupt FBI, of course, was on the horn with Facebook and with Twitter on the lead up to the 2020 election, right? And it's hard to keep all the corruption straight. So let's see, 2012, it was the IRS, then 2016, it was the FBI, and then 2020, the CIA with their felonious 51 saying that the laptop looked like Russian disinformation, and the FBI, that's when the FBI is on the phone with Twitter and Facebook telling them to not allow people to share that story because it's detrimental to the Biden family fortunes, literally and figuratively, and to the Democrat Party. These are very treacherous times we're in. And if we had a legitimate news media, and we don't, then there would be gigantic, scandalous stories about all of this. Huge. Now, it's like I was talking about it yesterday. If Vladimir Putin had endorsed Donald Trump rather than Joe Biden, that would be banner headlines across the country for days and days. CNN would have to stay up all night to keep talking about it because Putin endorsed Trump. But Putin didn't endorse Trump. He endorsed Biden. So you know what the left-wing media is doing? Saying, well, I never trust anything that Putin says. I assume that it's the opposite of the truth. So he really endorses Trump by endorsing Biden. This is what the squirrels in their craniums tell them. Just extraordinary. So we've got that going today. And we had Fawn Mee Willis, who is a real piece of work. She likes cash. She's a cash woman. Just don't rob her house, because she might have $9,000 in cash in there or something. So we got that. Obama Giuliani and the man who never was, Frank Marshall Davis. Here it is, the man who never was. They're cleaning up their histories. They erase their own histories, like their history of slavery and the KKK and terrorist groups like the SDS and the Weather Underground. They get to rewrite their history every day when they get out of bed. And Gina Haspel, the one-time CIA director, and her role in the phony, corrupt Russiagate non-scandal that they ginned up, our intelligence community, is a criminal enterprise, an ongoing criminal organization, our own intelligence community, here to corrupt our presidential elections. They've used the federal government to corrupt, the left has, our last three presidential elections. We got another one this year. We are at 888-630-9625.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Temperatures are low, but demand is high. You need Indeed. Their all-in-one platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. And Indeed's interview tool lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from their website. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Do you want more online safety and privacy? I know I do. That's why I started using NordVPN. It guards me against various internet threats. Digital trackers, malicious websites, and malware-infected downloads, back off. I choose to browse with more confidence. I choose NordVPN.
To avoid digital threats, turn on NordVPN. It's trusted by millions of users. Just visit NordVPN.com. One of the fastest VPNs on Earth will block web trackers, malicious websites, and malware-ridden downloads. It will also encrypt your internet traffic while maintaining a smooth connection. So improve your digital privacy and protection against hackers with one simple click. Get the special deal at NordVPN.com and enjoy safer internet daily.
NordVPN. Cybersecurity built for every day.
COVID-19 has cast a spotlight on the stark inequalities that drive poverty. The poorest communities in the U.S. and around the world are suffering the most. Oxfam believes we can put systems in place to protect health and livelihoods in the future if we work together with dignity and compassion. Learn how you can help offer safety to the most vulnerable and fight for a more resilient future at OxfamAmerica.org. Sponsored by Oxfam America.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Because no two people sleep the same. Only the Sleep Number smart bed lets you each choose your individual firmness and comfort, your Sleep Number setting. The Climate 360 smart bed is so smart, it actively cools or warms up to 13 degrees on either side for your ideal sleep temperature. And now, during our President's Day sale, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus free home delivery when you add any base. Ends Monday. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3% on top of that.
Is there a limit to the match?
No limit. Robinhood Gold gets you the biggest contribution match of any IRA on the market. Sign up for Robinhood Gold at Robinhood.com/boost by April 30th. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Match on transfers subject to additional terms and conditions. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.
New year, new hiring needs? Indeed's end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all year round. Schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting Indeed.com/credit.
The YMCA is just a starting line, for the true self blooms only when we find our purpose, what makes us tick below the surface. Why is the before work hustle an after-school home? A section of my block, a corner to call my own. With my why, I stand strong, seen and supported all along. It's a million faces in a mirror, and everyone belongs. Find your why. Join today at YMCA.org for a better us.
Advertisement sponsored by Allied Injury Group, not available in all states. This important message from Allied Injury Group reminds you that if you or someone you love was injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, you deserve financial compensation for your medical expenses, lost wages, pain, and suffering. Don't rely on insurance companies to look out for you. If you haven't spoken to an attorney, call our legal experts now. Work accident, truck accident, collision with an uninsured driver, or a slip and fall. Allied Injury Group has helped clients win hundreds of millions of dollars in damages. They're available 24/7 to take your call and fight for you. Remember, if you or someone you love suffered injuries in an accident that wasn't your fault, like being struck by a drunk driver, a collision with an 18-wheeler, were a victim of workplace negligence or more, get the financial compensation you deserve. Call Allied Injury Group for a free consultation now.
Call 800-781-1815. That's 800-781-1815. Again, 800-781-1815.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLew is here for you. With DebtLew's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLew are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Also, Joe Biden is at long last going to East Palestine, Ohio. He still doesn't know how to pronounce it, but that's because he's not a smart man, and his brain is no good. That's ought to be problematic, but for him it's not. And I know that there's at least one business there that I will share with you, that the White House advance went to this business and said, hey, the president's coming today. He'd like to come by your restaurant and speak with people. And they said, he's not welcome here. He cannot come to our restaurant. Go away. And I'll update you on that. Right now, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Daniel, calling from Washington, D.C. Daniel, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Join Vince Cominade, March 7th.
Uh-oh. Daniel,
I don't know what Daniel was listening to there. He's got WML on there somewhere. I think it might be too late. Hang in there, Daniel. Maybe we'll get back to you. Now, the trip to East Palestine, that was more than a year ago, well over a year ago, and Joe Biden said, I'm going to go to where their toxic train derailment took place, and the water is polluted, and it looks like gasoline and ponds around East Palestine, and Pete Buttigieg went and smiled at the press there and winked at them, and they gave him a rub down, and nothing has been done, because really, in the end, the most corrupt institution in America is the Fourth Estate, the American press, supposed to be holding feet to the fire. Instead, they're giving lubricated foot massages to the Democrat Party. And that's not all, but I'm on the radio, so I can't say all of it, you know, what they're doing. I got that coming up. And jailing your political enemies.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
Tired of that long drive home from Sacramento? Try Redding Regional Airport, where you can travel the world with one connection on United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. RDD is located just down the road. Skip the drive, enjoy quick check-ins, and travel with ease and convenience. Getting where you want to go is easier than ever with nonstop flights to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. Enjoy that vacation you've been dreaming about. Fly with ease and convenience from Redding Regional Airport.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy, and now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Hi friends, RC here, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, the Diesel Vintage. A smooth burn, a perfect draw, and flavor for days. This is what an expertly crafted Parejo from the farms of A.J. Fernandez offers us. The Diesel Vintage is everything we seek in a fine and exceptional cigar experience. Get yours today at Tobacco & Brew, Redding, California.
Never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin from the Flag Center. Winter rain and wind is hard on flags. So until March 21st, bring us that tattered old glory, and we'll give you 15% off any all-weather Tuftex American flag. Stop in and see us at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. The Flag Center, since 1982. American flags, American made.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, I'm Adam Ryan, presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those individuals that are interested in serving on the Shasta County Grand Jury. To apply or get more information, please visit our website at shastacountygrandjury.org.
The grand jury is one of the most important and interesting volunteer opportunities you can be part of. Applications are now being accepted. To apply or get more details, visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
Please apply now.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blasengame present Amazing Pollinators, on display now through May 27th at the Turtle Bay Museum. Immerse yourself in this visually stunning, game-based role-play adventure that explores the colorful and diverse world of pollinator and plant relationships. Amazing Pollinators at Turtle Bay Museum was created by Minotaur Mazes, a company specializing in interactive maze exhibits. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Welcome to the Queen of Dragons Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Queen Dragons or visit www.queenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Backed by popular demand, fresh and local flower powered by Pinnacle, Shasta County's premier local cultivator. Package fresh and daily with a wide variety and best prices and deals in town. And they can package larger sizes and quantities on site. Available only at the Queen of Dragons Dispensary. Winter hours are Monday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and they deliver. 530-276-9771.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Failed us again and again on major on September 11th. They failed us there. That was really the Clinton administration's fault and the Clinton Justice Department building a wall between foreign intelligence and domestic intelligence so they couldn't talk to each other. And the 9/11 commission discovered, hey, boy, if it hadn't been for your bad decisions, we would have been able to stop September 11th. Then there would have been no war in Afghanistan, no war in Iraq. But never mind that. The CIA under John Brennan has been utterly, and Barack Obama, utterly corrupted. And the, you know, the lefties long ago, like the John Brennan's penitentiary face, They decided long ago, well, the best way to ruin the system is to become part of it. You can't ruin the system from the outside. You've got to ruin it from the inside. You have power on the inside. You can really destroy a lot. And John Brennan, who's a criminal, just look at his face. The CIA has been abused. Barack Obama, of course, used the IRS again in 2012 to sideline conservative groups with names like Patriot, words like Patriot and Tea Party in it. And the IRS sidelined them. Worse than anything Richard Nixon ever did anywhere in his presidency. He did get us out of the Democrat war that, you know, the Democrats got us into in Vietnam and normalized relations with China and with Russia. But never mind that. That's not important. The CIA has been used against us for the left to advance the cause of the left. Barack Obama, man of the left, used the IRS against his political enemies in 2012. In 2016, the federal government, again, federal agencies were brought to bear on behalf of the Democrat Party to undermine, and we're still learning more about this, to undermine President Trump. And the reporting of Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi that I've been talking about this week has been vitally important to understanding just how corrupt our times are and just how corrupt our filthy federal government is and how corrupt it's been made by the left, who many of whom wheedled their way into the system years ago like penitentiary face and like Barack Obama, you know, an Alinskyite from way back. And now we learn that former CIA Director Gina Haspel hid the CIA's role in Russiagate for years, and the Federalist has that story today. Tristan Justice writing the story. The FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago last summer might have been a plot to protect deep state intelligence officials, according to sources who spoke with a team of independent journalists this week. On Wednesday, journalist Michael Schellenberger, Matt Taibbi, and Alex Gutentag published part two of an expose on the role of the Central Intelligence Agency in orchestrating the years-long crusade to frame former President Donald Trump as a Russian plant. It was all a lie. People need to go to a penitentiary for this above the Arctic Circle, ideally in Russia, where Alexei Navalny died. The article posted on Schellenberger's Substack, Public, that's the name of the site, outlined how intelligence officials fretted over the presence of a classified binder in Trump's possession that former CIA director Gina Haspel had guarded for years. Transgressions range from Justice Department surveillance of domestic political targets without probable cause, all illegal, to the improper unmasking of a pre-election conversation between a Trump official and a Saudi crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, to WMD-style manipulation of intelligence for public reports on alleged Russian influence activities. It was reported by Schellenberger and Taibbi. One unnamed source, cited as knowledgeable about the case, called the binder Trump's insurance policy. Trump was apparently very concerned about having it and taking it with him because it was his roadmap of the Russian collusion hoax. And then guess what happened? The missing binder story has several variants, public reported. Sources offer differing answers on the question of whether anything of consequence is missing. They gave mixed accounts of Trump's frantic last effort to declassify Russian-related material. But nearly everyone, public and Racket, the website IDs, spoke with agreed that the tale obscured a broader and more important story. You see, because this week, Substack reporters revealed that the CIA launched the Russiagate conspiracy with demands for allied nations who are members of the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance to spy on Trump and his campaign, 26 people. And the names were given to the Five Eyes by who? By John Brennan, who belongs in a penitentiary. Members of the Global Intelligence Alliance include the U.S., Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. In 2019, Democrats ostensibly impeached Trump over requesting that a foreign nation investigate domestic political opponents, that would be Joe Biden and his ties to Ukraine and all the money coming from Ukraine in the U.S. Trump now faces 40 criminal charges over allegations of mishandled classified documents after the FBI raid on his Florida residence, Mar-a-Lago. And guess what? That binder may have been taken during the FBI raid from Mar-a-Lago. Nothing to see here. And Trump faces 40 criminal charges for his handling of classified documents, and Joe Biden faces no criminal charges for his mishandling of classified documents. Huh. Not that there's a two-tiered system of justice and that our Justice Department and the intelligence community have been corrupted or anything like that on behalf of the Democrat Party and the left. And it can't all just be Trump hatred. There is more to this than that. Extraordinary stuff. So, honestly, and now Gina Haspel, who was CIA director under Trump, but what did he know? Seemed like a nice person when he met her. And she's no longer CIA director, of course. Just amazing, amazing stuff. There is corruption everywhere. And how many committees does Congress have to stand up? You know, if the Democrats still had the House of Representatives, they'd be covering all this up. All of this would be buried in shallow graves in the desert outside of Las Vegas, as is their usual habit. Extraordinary stuff. And now, the Ukrainian trusted FBI, and they told us over and over again how trusted this informant in Ukraine was, and we couldn't possibly reveal his name until we indict him, charge him with crimes that'll put him in prison for 25 years for revealing that the Ukrainian gas company Burisma was paying millions of dollars to the Biden family. Now he could spend the rest of his life in prison. See how that goes? It's the same people that used the FBI to hunt down every person that showed up on January 6th, yet the people that sacked and plundered Lafayette Park and torched the Church of the Presidents and forced the evacuation of the President of the United States and his family to the nuclear bunker under the White House, no charges, no sentences, no trials. Isn't that fascinating? How can that be? Is this the United States of America? You may remember that Barack Obama screamingly promised the fundamental transformation of America. Well, here it is. The fundamental transformation of America. Between the open borders, there are Venezuelan gangs running roughshod in New York and Detroit, all across the country. Expect them to, you know, kidnap a daughter near you, because I gotta tell you,
we are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Amazing stuff. Now, the Delaware-based special counsel who's supposed to be investigating Hunter Biden is charging with crimes that would put him in prison for a quarter of a century. The longtime FBI informant from Ukraine. No big deal. Ironically, perhaps on the same day that Vladimir Putin's political enemy dies in prison north of the Arctic Circle. Remarkable stuff. I am telling you. All right, let's take a phone call. Let's see if Daniel is with us now. Let's go to Daniel calling from Washington, D.C. Daniel?
Hey, Chris, my apologies. I think our earlier connection was probably fouled up by the Russian Star Wars satellite.
But, I think that's probably right. Nuclear weapons in space. That explains it all.
My question is, how did all of this stuff with Joe, Jim, and Hunter Biden go on with Burisma in Ukraine, but yet nobody's looking at Obama when Joe was his vice president? And is Joe really 10% for the big guy, or is Obama getting paid off with small, undetectable bills?
Well, I mean, that's Fannie Willis is passing him cash, too, I think.
Yeah, you know, I mean, she says she could have anywhere between 5,000 and 20,000 in her house at any given time.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to give out her address later to Venezuelan gangs so that the Venezuelan and Colombian gangs can raid her house. Look, Daniel, you raise a very important question. The actual president of the United States at the time was Barack Obama. And where is he? Now, I don't think he needs the cash. What did that Netflix paid him, $40 million or $50 million or something? He's got, you know, $12 million mansions all over America. And he's just fine. He flies private and hangs on 300-foot yachts that belong to other people. Didn't have to really do anything for it. But you raise a good question. Joe Biden, his brother James Biden, and his son Hunter Biden, with all of their entanglements all over the world, doing what exactly? No one knows. You know, the Trump family, they build skyscrapers, they open hotels, they have investment funds, they make purses, they do all kinds of clothing, they do all kinds of things. We know what they do. What is it that the Biden family produces in the way of, you know, do they make shirts? Donald Trump makes shirts and ties. Do they have restaurants? What do they have? They have construction firms. Are they in the oil business? What business are they in? And the answer is they're not in any business. They're in the influence pimping business. And that's it. And that seems to be fine with our filthy news media, which will shout you down for mentioning out loud that truth, that reality. It's a terrible thing, isn't it, Daniel?
It is. And, you know, I'm looking at this as how far down the road has this current administration and the Obama administration sold this country out? And with Joe's obvious cognition deficiency, and he's a gentle old man that might be losing his memory, unless Hunter has blown his memory up in smoke, he should be able to remember everything that went on. So why don't you start pulling his fingernails off with a pair of pliers until he starts singing like a bird? Oh, that's right, because once he starts singing, then he'll end up in the gulag in the, you know, north of the Arctic Circle. But, you know, I guess that throws a big monkey wrench into the see something, say something.
Yeah, right, yeah. And I got to tell you the fact that David Weiss, what a coincidence that it's David Weiss, the Delaware U.S. attorney with ties to the Biden family, who's investigating, in theory, Hunter Biden and the Biden family. No charges for them, but now up to 25 years in prison for Alexander Smirnov, 43-year-old, trusted longtime informant of the FBI, was arrested at Harry Reid International Airport in Las Vegas, looking at a quarter of a century in prison because he said what he believes to be true, that Burisma gave millions of dollars to the Biden family. And because he said that, the Biden family is now looking to put him in a penitentiary for 25 years. And the American news media says, what? There's nothing wrong with that. That's just, he didn't tell the truth. Oh, okay. Hunter Biden didn't tell the truth on a federal form about buying a gun, which he then bought. The junkie, crackhead, kicked out of the Navy, coke fiend, and no charges for him, none whatsoever. We're living in a very corrupt United States of America. The election can't come soon enough, and the Democrats, I'm waiting for them to fire on Fort Sumter again.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
Small businesses are the cornerstone of our towns and the pride of our country. We at Capitus provide financing for small business owners like you, the ones who keep the country running. And Capitus can help keep you running with financing built for the unique needs of your business. You've made this country great. Now let us at Capitus help you become even better. Start your journey today by submitting an application at capitus.com. That's K-A-P-I-T-U-S.com.
With your choice of select sandwich, nugs, fries, and a drink, Wendy's $5 Biggie Bag is your go-to. Your nugget wing man. Your hot and crispy fry co-pilot.
Just like us. We're like the bag boys.
What?
Bag boys, bag boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we bring your food?
For a deal you can count on, bet on Biggie and choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Bag boys, bag boys.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Includes choice of JVC or crispy chicken sandwich with four-piece nuts, junior fry, and small soft drink. Third-party delivery pricing may be higher.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Because no two people sleep the same. Only the Sleep Number smart bed lets you each choose your individual firmness and comfort, your Sleep Number setting. The Climate 360 smart bed is so smart, it actively cools or warms up to 13 degrees on either side for your ideal sleep temperature. And now, during our President's Day sale, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus free home delivery when you add any base. Ends Monday. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Score presidential deals during the Omaha Steaks President's Day Sale and save 50% off site-wide. Go to omahasteaks.com/sizzle and you'll get 8 free Omaha Steaks burgers on select packages. That's 50% off all your favorite tender, juicy, extra-age steaks like their butcher's cut filet mignons, their mouth-watering pure ground burgers, comfort classics, and easy-to-prepare meals that are perfect for those busy weekday nights. With Omaha Steaks, the possibilities are endless. Endless flavor and endless value, all at 50% off during the President's Day sale. Remember, the only way to get this amazing deal is to head over to omahasteaks.com/sizzle and shop the President's Day sale. Load up on all the delicious flavor you crave at half the price. And don't forget to look for those 8 free burgers on select packages. But you're going to want to hurry because this deal ends soon. Simply go to omahasteaks.com/sizzle and shop the President's Day sale today.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLew is here for you. With DebtLew's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLew are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Fellow Americans, former CIA officer Jason Hansen here. Market instability and soaring debt have put your retirement at risk. For protection, I recommend diversifying into physical gold from Advantage Gold, a 5-star rated gold company I've used for years. Their customer service is unmatched. Call 800-741-GOLD now and say Jason Hansen sent you and get a free 2024 gold investing kit. Again, call 800-741-GOLD.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Now, Joe Biden appointed Merrick Garland as the corrupt attorney general to corrupt the Justice Department and, you know, preside over the corrupt FBI. And the radical left-wing extremists at Axios report Attorney General Merrick Garland, a Biden appointee, appointed David Weiss, a Biden family friend, last August as special counsel to lead the investigation into Hunter Biden and related to tax charges. But now, The FBI informant that squealed on the Biden family is facing 25 years in prison. Heck of a job, Merrick Garland. Heck of a job, David Weiss. Now, this is a guy who became an FBI informant in 2010 and has been a trusted informant until, well, yesterday when he was charged with a series of felonies that'll put him in prison forever and ever, because don't cross the Bidens, they'll abuse whatever power they have. The House Republicans, Axios types, have cited unverified information provided by FBI informants. Well, the FBI uses them as part of their so far unproven Biden bribery allegations in their impeachment inquiry into the president. But it's unverified and unproven in the same sentence. Isn't it good to be a Democrat? The bootlicks at Axios just can't wait to offer their full-throated assistance to the Democrat Party and the Biden White House. Wah, wah, wah. These are remarkable events in American political history. The left has corrupted our federal institutions all over the place, and they're using them to...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.